Focus Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
This is The Beat. Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, Jared Payton all here today. JP's over at TV, and all I got to say is you are missing out, my friend, because I just got handed something that I can't even pronounce.
A Caipirinha.
A Caipirinha.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Krista Flores. It was Krista's birthday yesterday.
Caipirinha.
She just walked in the studio. Our engineer of superstarness. Sorry. Hi.
Great. So I missed two birthdays in
Happy
the last
Sunday.
4 days?
Yeah. What'd you get, Flores? Did you get her the same thing you got me? Nothing. Zippo? Nada.
Happy birthday. So I have officially given her more than I gave you because I said happy birthday to her.
Right. No call, no text, no Facebook, no Twitter. I mean, even Connor, he put a video up of the old school times of...
The night game?
No, it was The Beat. Nice video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was on this show, too.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot about Connor.
Oh, JP, where are you?
What do you mean?
Oh, there you are. I just had you low on the board. I could barely hear you. Now okay. I got you.
Yeah, all right, we're all good.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, man, I miss you guys.
I'm sending you a virtual hug right now, Jared Payton. Can you feel it?
Goodness, yes. You must have been working out today.
Oh, my gosh. I was. I did a big workout today. I was lifting huge weights.
And, I did not.
And I went downward dog, and then I got right into a...
You did a what?
A down dog. Down doggy.
Yes, little yoga.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Jared. How do you not know what a downward dog is, Hoge? This is the... This
do
is,
I want to know?
This is 2000... You really don't know what downward dog is?
No.
Okay. Instant Carm poll.
Carm.
Does that disqualify you from hosting a sports talk radio show if you don't know what downward dog is in 2016?
Hey, you guys want to vote me out?
No. No, don't leave. I'll hug you and not let you out of the
studio. It's been a long day already, baby.
Okay. I think we all need a deep breath today. I think we all need...
I got my Caipirinha. I'm ready. Okay. I think I've said it wrong like 7 times.
Now, real quick. Is that like a drink or something? Or?
It's what they're drinking at the Olympics.
What are they... For real?
They need drinks at the
By
Olympics.
By the way, I took one sip. I'm not drinking this. The rest... It tastes phenomenal, but...
You're worried about the future effects?
Yeah. I got to do a radio show. Sorry.
What's in it?
Something.
Ooh. Save some for me, please.
Sunday afternoon on The Beat.
It's dangerous following up Frank Fontana.
Frank Fontana. So
every show.
Today he's got Anderson candies in there. I'm getting hopped up on sugar, and now Caipirinhas are coming in. All right, let's get focused here. So there, I want to. You know how I said that I really wanted to cover Rio and beg Jimmy DeCastro, Todd Manley, Steve Cochran, Dave Ennett, Rokan.
Yes. Yeah, I wish you were there.
Yeah, and I mean, I only begged him on the air. I did it in a passive aggressive, right. not in their in front of them.
Classic Carm.
They still right. thank you. They still would have said no. I'm very confident. But how about you've got an attack on a media bus? They're coming back from. They're traveling from the Diadora Zone to the Olympic Park. I don't mean to make light of this, but you're the media. You're driving back 3 gunshots. Hit the bus. Hit the bus. Are you kidding me? Mario Andrada, chief spokesman for Rio's 2016 organizing committee, later revealed 3 of the 12 journalists on the bus suffered minor injuries. I'm assuming that it's not Stacey St. Clair who we've talked to. I mean,
wait. So they actually got shot?
Yes, they're shooting at the bus. We don't know if the bus was shot or if it was a stone. That's like the International Olympic Committee just lies about what goes on. It was they were shot at. And then you've got, let's see, you got Ryan Lochte today did you follow like the news cycle today? First there was a report out that Lochte was attacked at gunpoint and robbed.
Right. Then they denied it.
Then
his mom said that it happened.
And then they like were denying her, and then it's like, okay, now there's quotes from Lochte. We got pulled over in the taxi, and these guys came out with a badge, a police badge, no lights, no nothing, just a police badge, and they pulled us over. They pulled out their guns. They told the other swimmers to get down on the ground. They got down on the ground. I refused. What are you, nuts?
I'm doing whatever they say.
Yeah, I was like, we didn't do anything wrong, so I'm not getting down on the ground. And then the guy pulled out his gun. He cocked it, put it to my forehead, and he said, get down. And I put my hands up. I was like, whatever. He took our money, he took my wallet, and left my cell phone, he left my credentials. Okay. Ryan Lochte, that's, first of all, again, don't mean to make light of this, because everyone's fine, I guess. That's, I mean, this is what's going on at the Olympics right now. That's not just like random tourists who took, you know, the wrong turn. That's gold medal winner swimmer guy. Anybody?
Okay, I don't...
Go ahead.
Is that all that different than what happens in Chicago every day, though?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
What?
Is it?
Well, for an Olympic athlete?
I mean, I don't know.
That'd be like the Cardinals stood up on their way
maybe
to
Maybe it's not necessarily buses getting shot at, but cars are getting shot at every day on like the highway. It's not all that different.
It's a little different,
but it's not that different.
No. What am I, in Twilight Zone?
You don't think people get robbed at gunpoint by people posing to be cops? That happens all the time.
I don't think that a fake policeman pulls over a professional athlete and has him get down on the ground. That story's never happened and probably never will. Well, I mean, I get it that there's danger. I get the danger in the city. Don't. You know, I'm not downplaying that either.
Yes.
How about JP? There was another one. A bullet through in the media room of the equestrian venue on Saturday.
I agree with Hogue. I mean, and that's not that normal. But Hogue, I think you're right, bro. I think stuff like this happens all the time. I feel like in Chicago and other places, they're not disguising to be anybody. They're just plain clothes who they are, robbing people. So
what I would say is what's maybe different, and we don't. Where was Lochte when this happened? I mean, did they venture way out of the Olympic?
They were going to a party.
They're going to a party. Okay, they could have been going. I doubt they were traveling 3 hours.
So, I mean, I'm guessing, was it like an Olympic party or just some...
Yeah, it was like one of the Brazil swimmers was having a party somewhere.
I'm guessing wherever those would be taking place in Chicago or maybe a little bit safer areas, if the Olympics were here, I would assume that the security here would probably be a little bit better than it has been in Rio. But it's really not all that different.
312-981-7200.
And are you saying you're glad you didn't go now?
No, yes, I think. I don't want to.
Stacey St. Clair's been on our station how many times in the last 2 weeks? She sounds okay.
Yeah, and she's having a great time.
Yeah.
But listen.
And hey, the beach Copacabana looks great.
Yeah, okay, that part of it's great. But
that's pretty much the only thing NBC shows us, by the way.
Right. Hey, listen, still, with all the news out, yes, I would go. But I'm telling you right now, I would be paying attention to the news cycle. And when I was on that bus going back to my hotel or to the next venue, I would be slumped down in that chair underneath. My head would not be up against that window. I can promise you that. I'd probably be sitting on the floor. Hey, don't mind me. I'm at the Carm here. Follow me on Twitter, please. But I'm going to sit on the floor here, so just in case another stray bullet comes flying, I'm going to be all good.
But you don't feel that way on the highway at night here?
I do.
No.
I do.
No.
I do.
I do. You don't? Dude, I drove home from Soldier Field at 1 o'clock in the morning Thursday night, and I can tell you that I was thinking about that. I was getting on the highway. There's been enough of those news stories that I don't like driving around the expressways that late at night anymore.
Me either. That's how I feel. I mean, I actually take longer roads and ways home because I'm getting off of that highway, man. I don't know what's going on, and seeing all those, I want to get home to my kids and my wife. That's all I can think of.
Well, I mean, I do want to. I mean, it's true. I do want to get home safe to my stuffed animal, Arnold.
But hold up, hey, both of you guys though, isn't it kind of crazy to have to think about that though?
It is.
What would Arnold do
without you?
Exactly. Dude would be like stuck in the drawer for the rest of his life.
You put him in a drawer when you leave?
When I was taking care of Luna the dog, I had
Luna would go after Arnold?
Luna was going to crush Arnold, so I had to put him in the drawer. Now he's out now, he's good. But he's probably like underneath the bed and not in a prime spot. He didn't make the bed today. Bad job by me.
You're a good person, though.
Right? I literally make my bed more for my stuffed animal than for me. I want the stuffed animal to have a nice...
I'm impressed you make your bed.
You don't make your bed?
Not really.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Why?
You're going to get back in it again.
I got more important things to do. Next time I see my bed is when I'm in it.
Your wife allows you to not make the bed?
Yeah, she doesn't do it either.
So you guys just could get back in a crumpled bed at night?
It's just as comfortable as it was when I left it.
Yeah, but like the sheets aren't, you don't have a nice Christmas when you first hit the old.
We straighten it out a little bit.
Yeah.
I want a crisp feeling for me and Arnold.
Is there 312-981-7200, is there a thing that you could waste more time on in a day than making a bed? What is the point of that? You just make it and then you unmake it when you come back to it later.
Okay.
Yeah. Who's enjoying the making of the bed here?
I think it's incredibly important. It's like an integrity issue to like how you
why
create nice space in your life.
No.
No, JP?
Well, listen, I rarely make the bed. My wife she loves to get into a crisp bed. I understand that. And so I see where you're coming from, Carm, but I could care less because the next time that I hit the bed, I'm going lights out just so I can get back up and get back into the rat race again, man.
All right. I mean, I really appreciate a nice straight sheet. And
by the time I get in that bed, between the wife and the dog and the cat, the things aren't straight anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to get in there and pull things around and get it to where I need anyway.
Between the wife, the dog, and the cat, a visual.
That's a lot of stuff going on there.
It's too much.
You're telling me the dog and the cat are both in the same bed along with you and the wife?
Well, so when we moved, I did train the dog that when I come to bed, the dog's out. In our last house, she was in there every night, and it was so annoying because she would always lean to my side and keep pushing me off. So when we moved, she's in there when my wife goes to bed, but when I get there, bye-bye. You got a bed on the ground. That's where you go, dog.
Well, hold up, Carm. Hold on. When did you have time to train your dog?
Well, it was actually way easier than I thought. I had zero confidence that this was going to work, but basically every night I came to bed from the night we moved in there, I kicked her off the bed and put her in this bed that we bought her, a dog bed. And she was like reluctant. She would come back the first couple nights in the middle of the night, and I would just keep pushing her off, and eventually she learned.
Good job.
Thank you.
Way to go. I'd like also a little quick Twitter poll, or rather text poll. This segment, if we sent it to the Broadcast Hall of Fame, would we win? Like if there was
no.
Why wouldn't we?
I think it was a tremendous.
I think it was great.
One of the great starts in the show's history.
I mean, we had
got to your dogs' beds.
And
you said that it was as dangerous here as it is in Rio.
What's the drink again?
Capanina.
We got Capaninas in the segment.
We do. Hey, by the way, you should know that Tuesday is Cubs doubleheader day on WGN Sports. Watch the Cubs battle the Brewers at noon, and then watch them play again at 7 on My 50 Chicago WPWR. WGN Sports has all the Cubs action on Tuesday. Jared Payton, I have a very important question for you coming back. I've been talking about this, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, and I want your take on it. It has to do with swimming and African Americans. 720 WGN.
Hey, do you want to mention, before we get back to some Olympic talk, there was a little bit of interesting news from Bears camp today that we'll talk about a little bit more later, but Kyle Fuller, Bears third-year corner, not practicing today. Then John Fox tells us after practice that Fuller has a knee issue and won't even travel with the team to New England as they do some further evaluations on him back here.
That does not sound good. They need Kyle Fuller, do they not, JP?
Well, they need him to play at a high level. That's what they really need him to do. This is one of those years, a statement year for him to kind of, you know, show what he's all about and show this new regime what he's all about. And this just doesn't sound good, that to be able to stay here and further, you know, look at this knee could be an issue.
No doubt. 4:10, by the way, right after the 4 o'clock news, we'll get into some Bears football. Mark Gonzalez, Chicago Tribune, covers the Cubs, will be with us at 3:35. So 10 minutes from now, JP, what did it mean to you to see Simone Manuel, the first ever African-American woman, get a gold medal in the 100 meters? Did that even like feel like us, like we had broken down even a tiny, tiny little barrier to you, or was it just kind of just another story in the news?
No, I think it's definitely a story, and I think we're breaking things down just a little bit to be able to see, you know, how she affected and kind of changed things. You know, for a kid that grew up myself, man, I knew how to swim back in the day, and people always, and they just made this joke all the time that black people can't swim. Like, what?
Yeah, I think we've all heard that, though, at some point.
Like, okay. Right? That's one of the biggest things that I hear all the time, and people ask me, like, can you swim? I'm like, yes, I can swim. Come on.
Okay, we didn't talk about this before the show, so thank you for saying it exactly like that. If I had scripted it, I wouldn't have said it any better. Because I was saying, You know, when it happened, I was doing a couple overnights this week. Like, look, the stereotype is black people can't swim. And it's not, it's first of all, it's inaccurate. Second of all, it has a lot to do with where swimming pools were and how they were built and who was given access and the money that's around that sport. And the statistics are disturbing. USA Swimming estimates 70% of black children do not know how to swim. And then the CDC says that black people are 5.5 times more likely to drown than white kids. And that's clearly a symptom of the errors of our forebears, period, end of story. So I thought it was a huge deal that she won. And I mean, so JP, it sounds to me like, you know, you get angry with that stuff. Like, yes, I can swim, you bozo, because I actually, you know, I came from an upbringing where we had a couple dollars and I learned to swim just like you did.
And that's, I think that's really what it was. I mean, I grew up in South Barrington. There was the South Barrington Club, which was, you know, down the street. My sister was on the swim team there. I swam on the swim team there. So I was around swimming, but it's, you know, now 2016, my wife, she's white. She doesn't know how to swim. She doesn't know how to swim. She doesn't know how to ski. And I'm the black guy in the family who knows how to swim and ski. So I'm asking her all the time, what's going on here? Well, everything's backwards.
Well, right, because she wasn't exposed to it.
No, nope, she wasn't exposed to it at all.
Right, and I'm a terrible swimmer. Awful.
Yeah?
Brutal. I mean, I can swim. I can do like a little side stroke, a little backstroke. But ask me to do the crawl, put my head in the water, and breathe, and the whole thing. No, water's up my nose. I'm miserable. I want out of the water.
Let me just tell you guys this, though. This is what's so important. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. If you have kids, you have to make sure that they can swim. And so what we've done is we've got my son into swimming classes, and which is really cool. My mom doesn't know how to swim, and so they're actually taking classes together out by us. And so she wanted to learn how to swim as well, just because, you know, you just never really know. And you don't want to be in that position and not be able to swim and go hang out with your friends, which I tell my son all the time.
Right, and I got a text yesterday saying that, hey, what do you mean it's about affluence? Why can't they just go swim in the lake or the ocean or whatever? You don't just go jumping in the lake or the ocean if you don't know how to swim.
Actually, that's really dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get swept in the Lake Michigan real easily.
Right.
If you don't know what you're doing. I should have done more swimming. I mean, I'm a strong swimmer, but I got that length too.
Yeah,
and if
could.
I had lifted a little bit, I could have been a swimmer.
You could have been Phelps.
No, I could not have been Michael Phelps. That dude,
right?
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I've really enjoyed watching him every 4 years at the Olympics.
Yeah, man.
Like, I'm one of those guys that really gets into the Olympics every time they come around. Don't watch them at all. Don't watch those sports at all in between. You know what I mean? But when the swimming comes around every 4 years, like I'm like glued to my seat watching these relays, watching Phelps. And so, you know, it was kind of, you know, to see him swim for the last time last night, we'll see. It was emotional, man.
We'll revisit this in 4 years on the beat. But, I mean, do you guys really think it's it?
I think he's in Tokyo.
Yeah. No, I think he's done.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's in Tokyo.
I think he's done. He doesn't seem to me to be like that Michael Jordan type, but you just can't give it up. And
he's
retired seven times already.
Yeah,
feels
and
like.
He tried to do the golf thing. Remember when he was on?
I didn't know that stuff.
He was on that. Hank Haney, right? That's the guy's name. Who he did that show on the Haney Project or whatever on Golf Channel. Michael Phelps was on that, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm giving up swimming, I'm going to golf," and he was awful at golf. And guess where he ended up? Back in that pool.
Okay, but Hogue, isn't that kind of the cool thing about him, is watching him from such a young age to then kind of go through the stuff that he went through with the DUIs and all that stuff, and then to kind of go to, what is it, London and not really train, still win, and then to be at the age he is now and still dominate? I mean, he's found out, like really flipped it around. His son, Boomer, I mean, he's got his fiance. His life is changing a little.
Yeah, I just think he's
that's
like
true.
I just think that like all the great ones at their sports, they're addicted to competition, and I'm not saying that in a negative way.
Yeah, I know
and,
I am,
and I just don't. I think when he tries to get away from it again, he's gonna end up back in that pool.
What if you can still do it? why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, but
it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and that's what happens. The guys on top, how it ended for him is it's like you can make a movie out of it, and that's the ending. Just end it like that. Don't go on and try to be Jordan and go to the Wizards. Just leave it like it is, man.
Yeah, but Mike retired and came back twice.
I know.
And by the way, if he could play right now, I think he would do it again. I part of my day today was watching a video of him playing one-on-one against some guy.
Dude, you have a problem.
I do.
You have issues.
I do.
You're addicted to it more than he is.
I don't know.
You're addicted more to being Michael Jordan than Michael Jordan is.
I think I went to bed last night on my phone at 2:30 YouTubing Michael Jordan Young and watched a four-minute video of just ridiculous dunks. And then I got up today.
That's creepy, man.
It was so good. It was such a great way to go into a restful sleep. All right, Mark Gonzalez from the Chicago Tribune will be here in about 5 minutes right after the 3:30 news.
My changeup was good. My curveball was working pretty good, too, and good fastball command. You know, I kind of had all three for a while there. I was making good pitches. Kind of the same old story with Wilson back there, man. He was solid. Again, we were on the same page. Just two bad changeups, really, today. Two changeups up. That was about it. You know, I was trying. Hopefully we keep that winning streak going, but just start a new one tomorrow.
Adam Hogue and I in a deep discussion about StubHub and
I just served you. What does his email say?
Somehow, some way, I said
1:43 p.m. for a 4:10
game. Right, feel free to text in and let Adam Hogue know that in general, StubHub's rule with baseball tickets is 6 hours before the game they get taken offline. That is the rule for whatever reason because they don't want last minute tickets going for $5, even though sometimes they go for $6 is the cheapest. Mark Gonzalez never has to pay for a ticket because he covers the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. He joins us now on 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton with you until 6 o'clock. Hey, Gonzo, you're Joe Maddon. Let's start here. What's your playoff rotation? Go.
We got 6 weeks left, right? 7?
Come on, Gonzo.
Let it play out, and I warn you with this. About at this time in 2008, a local reporter was miffed why I wouldn't declare a American League Most Valuable Player Award. He said, it's outrageous if you don't say Carlos Quinton's the guy. Well, 3 weeks later, Carlos Quinton broke his wrist and was out for the final month.
Okay.
I will say this. I think we're looking at a bunch of variables, and if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty, you might be looking at things like Kyle Hendricks's home versus away record, how he fares at Wrigley compared to other places, as far as how you line up the rotation. I think right now he's pitched well enough to be part of that group. Now we'll just have to see how it plays out. Certainly there's a chance that this is going to be an odd man out, you know, best of five. You hope you wrap it up sooner than later, but stranger things have happened, especially if you win the best record, earn that, and then have to face the wild card champion. You know, usually the wild card champion is flying high, and in this case, there's what, 4 or 5 teams in the running still. It's a goofy landscape. So, whoever might be your best four at that time might not always be the best matchup. So keep that in mind.
All right, rephrasing: if the season ended today and we're playing on Tuesday, who's the game one starter in game two? And you're playing at home, obviously.
Game two at home.
Uh-huh.
I think if you have a right-handed lineup, I think Kyle Hendricks is worthy of it. I mean, and I don't know what the splits are on John Lester, but certainly he's got to be in the picture. But I'd narrow it down to those two guys, and I would be leaning toward Kyle simply because of his Wrigley dominance.
And game one's Arrieta, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Right. You can't go wrong with that, Gonzo. I mean, this team right now, we're. It's pretty fun to watch this team, and I think as you start to look, as the season starts to go on, this team can't be done making some more additions. When you look at this lineup, could you see them adding another lefty bat in there, maybe another arm or two in that for that bullpen?
I think looking at the arm is going to be more important than anything else, although certainly – as long as we don't know the stats of Tommy LaStella, a left-handed bat may come into play more, especially when you see what you may be facing in late inning situations, whether it be the Dodgers with Kenley Jansen, the Nationals with Melanson, Giants with Castilla. They're all right-handed. Yeah, that's why it's so important to have a left-handed bat, and why LaStella's absence could really loom large come playoff time. So I wouldn't discount the need for a left-handed bat at this point.
So you didn't see this coming with Tommy LaStella, right? And people who are calling Tommy LaStella kind of a bit player should be reminded that he did start the wild card game last year, and they definitely will be using him if he was on the roster, and that was the plan. So, I mean, what's your look at this, Gonzo?
Well, he was also 6-for-14 last year as a pinch hitter, and you're always facing somebody's tough pitchers when you're coming off the bench to pinch hit. So they certainly need somebody for that role. It can't be discounted, especially when you're talking about the playoffs and every situation being, you know, scrutinized. You know, we looked at the wild card last year. This guy started at third base. You remember how Kyle Schwarber maybe played about five innings in right field, and he's starting the game in right field. It was a fascinating situation, but I think Joe really knew the importance of managing each out, each inning. Even though Jake did throw well, you can't discount all of your 27 outs.
I'm still struggling to kind of figure out this LaStella thing. It's still weird to me, and I don't understand what he's trying to accomplish. I mean, have you been able to grasp that, Gonzo?
He's an interesting study. Good kid. At least the times I've been around him, many times. Nice chat with him over the winter about Jason Hayward and being a teammate with him. And Tommy was getting after at that time in terms of taking care of business for himself. Leading up to the season, showed up, lost about 15 pounds, said he needed to address some things in his diet, did a good job of that. Had the calf issue, but at that point, there were no signs that this was going to be a make-or-break situation for him. He was just going to accept any role that was handed to him. And when he made the team, he was the happiest guy in the world. And to see this come about is somewhat shocking, especially since he was the good teammate, the good soldier throughout the season. Really improved at third base to the point where Joe wasn't afraid to stick him out there for all nine innings if need be. But the bottom line is, if you have options and there's roster decisions to be made, sometimes it doesn't matter how well you're playing. You're going to be vulnerable to that. And the same thing happened to Justin Grimm, who was pretty good about taking the high road on this, and he's pitched well since he came back.
I talked to Grimm, too, after the wild pitch walk-off last week, and we played it on here, Gonzo. He was not happy about it. That was pretty clear. Like, I thought we were going to have just a nothing interview, and he was like, well, I got no comment on being sent down. I mean, he obviously went down. But I think, you know, guys love to play, right? And they certainly don't want to be sent to Iowa. It's turning into a bit of a challenge at the end of this roster.
Well, you got to figure it out, too. I mean, you got to do what's best for the team. And certainly he was upset, but he didn't say anything that was inflammatory toward the team. And I think
right.
He did the right thing there by not elaborating on it, because he could only hurt himself in that regard. I mean, it's just the nature of baseball right now. And I wrote about it last Monday. It's no secret that there are tough decisions to be made, and sometimes you have to put your ego in the background for what's good for the team, because, you know, right now they're winning, even though they lost last night, but they do know how important Tommy LaStella is, and without him there might be that situation where they need a lefty off the bench to tie or put him ahead, and he's not there. It's going to hurt.
Gonzo, you even with all that stuff, when you look at the Chapman stuff and you look at the Tommy LaStella stuff, I mean, you just said it. This team still is finding a way in the second half to win baseball games, and it doesn't seem like anything that can happen, maybe that other people on the outside are looking at, that could kind of flame up stuff. It doesn't seem like it bothers them at all that this team is just focused on playing baseball.
Yeah, I mean, this winning streak, I mean, it was a combination of what, a 1-11 game streaks, or 11-1 game swing streaks, put it correctly. They just were able to turn the page and move on, and I think that a bigger thing is that they've allowed teams to make mistakes and pounce on them. We saw it in the Marlins series how they came back and won, you know, on a wild pitch, one game, they rallied to win that one. But they're playing pretty well. They're not beating themselves. I mean, you could make a case last night, you know, that Carl Edwards Jr. had a rough outing, but for the most part, they've played great defense. They've gotten timely pitching and timely hitting. They've put themselves in a position to win, and that's all you can ask for.
Gonzo, does Papelbon make sense for the Cubs?
To paraphrase the late Al Rosen, if he can't pitch for the Nationals, what makes you think he can pitch for the Cubs?
Good point.
He's throwing. You know what? He's lost a tick or two on his fastball, and you got to be leery of that. I mean, he's throwing maybe 88 miles an hour. That's not a good sign for a right-hander who's relied his entire career on power. You hope that maybe this guy finds lightning in the bottle, but I don't think the Cubs right now are in experimental mode. I mean, they got to get Joe Smith right now to begin with.
He's got to change his name. It's too boring of a name. If you have a Joe, you can't have Smith. And by the way, the Smith family, if you have Smith, you can't name your kid Joe. He's got to be named Botswana or something. That's my biggest issue right now with Joe Smith, Gonzo. If you could just work on that. Here, the other thing that I would like to ask you, Mark Gonzalez, Chicago Tribune, who do you think is the toughest, worst matchup for the Cubs in the playoffs between the Nats and the Giants? And I don't know anyone else you want to throw in there.
Well, I think the Giants really are on fumes right now. I mean, I've watched them very closely since the All-Star break, and I think they still have a good run in them, but the pitching's been a little toasty right now. And certainly they addressed some of it by getting Matt Moore and Will Smith, but, I mean, we saw Will Smith in late July, and he was no mystery to the Cubs, especially Anthony Rizzo. If you can't get lefties out, that's a red flag for me. I wouldn't be too worried about the Giants at this point unless, Samardzija and Kane can pitch deeper. The Nationals are interesting, but the Cubs have seen them match up very well with them now. Getting, Melanson for them helps them quite a bit, and they're a tricky team. They played the Cubs very well in a series at D.C., so they're a team to keep an eye on. The Dodgers, for some reason, I keep an eye on them because no matter how much they've underachieved and how many injuries they've gone through, they're always capable of that monster run. They're that Team X right now. And I guess we'll have a better idea of just what they're capable of in 2 weeks when the Cubs play them at Dodger Stadium. They're a team with an asterisk right now. You expect them to get on that run. They got a deep farm system, but they really just haven't put it together. And I was wondering if they're going to have that big run in them right now.
That's awesome. I got a father question for you, though, Gonzo. My little guy is playing. He's 4 years old. He loves baseball, and so he's a big Cubs fan. So I'm walking around the house, and he's telling me he wants an AR jersey. So I'm thinking, oh, I got to get him a Rizzo jersey. And he's like, nah, Dad, Addison Russell. I said, man, why you want him? He said, he's young. They said he's young, and this kid is unbelievable. He watches a little bit of baseball, and as I was sitting there with him talking to him, I was thinking about how this 22-year-old has got the world in front of him to how good he actually can be.
I love guys that hit in the clutch, and he's really done that. And, he's only hitting .248, but, I mean, you look at those hits from the 6th, 7th inning on, and he's as good as any of them right now. I think his defense has gotten a lot better. You know, we've always looked at his arm and said, is he going to have strong enough arm to play shortstop? Well, recently he's made all the throws, and you can't really knock what he's done defensively. It's especially the plays behind second. I mean, he's gotten some tricky hops and fielded them with ease. So props to your son for being his own man right now.
Gonzo, we appreciate your time on a Sunday, my friend. Are you expecting, as we let you go here, any retribution from the Cardinals tonight for Matt Holliday? They've been holding back on that to this point.
I would hope not, but, nothing surprises me in this series. I guess if it was the previous Cardinal manager, something would have been done by now.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
Good shot. That's a nice, solid La Russa dig.
Watch out, he might come looking for you in the press box.
Well, I've dealt with him many times since 92, so nothing surprises me.
Mark Gonzalez, Chicago Tribune. Thank you, Gonzo.
Take care, guys.
There he goes, Mark Gonzalez from your Tribune covering the Cub.
That was a reference to Remember earlier, it was in Hogue's headlines when La Russa went after the Pirates broadcaster earlier this year in the middle of the game?
Yeah, that was great. Tony.
Jesus.
Have you ever been around a Tony in a post game?
Once or twice.
It's something. It is a, well, his rules back then with the Cardinals were, I don't know if you had these type of rules, JP, but if they lost, no music, and basically there was like a rule on how loud you could talk. Like it was just basically whispering in the clubhouse because they lost, which, you know, a lot of clubhouses you go into, win or lose, it's kind of similar. One of 162. We're not freaking out, but that's not how the Cardinals rolled under Tony.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm over here in the room. I'm trying to, something's going on.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. No, we're good. Wait, we do need to take a quick time out. There's some pretty funny texts coming in here. I want to read about swimming.
Swimming?
Yes.
Okay.
Why swimming?
Well, because we were talking about that earlier. Just relax. We got we have some Bears talk coming up at 4:10. The Bears did everything wrong on Thursday night, and Adam Hogue was there and will give us his incredible take. But I think it's kind of fun to go through how bad they were. I was enjoying that today. We'll do that coming up at 4. 720 WGN. This is The Beat. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Adam Hogue. Jared Payton with you till 6 o'clock. So I mentioned the swimming text. I just think this is funny. For one, I would rather fight Godzilla with a pea shooter than swim in Lake Michigan, from the 773. I think it's just a strong, strong text. And on my Michael Jordan love, Mark, have you taken a selfie in front of the 23 gate in front of MJ's home in Highland Park? If not, you might not be the shameless MJ junkie you are accused of being. Come to think of it, I'm disappointed if you haven't done it. And I have never taken the selfie in front of the gate. I think I'm worthy of a picture greater than the gate. I should be able to be allowed in the house, so it's my own boycott. And when Mike lived on Windy Hill, which is where he lived before he got the gated house, which is also in Highland Park, I did go to MJ's on Halloween and was given a Big Mac gift card. That's what they gave you. Have a Big Mac on MJ. And I was there in 91 when they won the first title. We all went to his house. And he came flying in his white Porsche, MJ, JJ, Michael Jordan, Juanita Jordan. Those license plates are no longer being used. But and we shook his hand when he came back. Actually, I was like the only guy that didn't go up and shake his hand because I didn't want to bother him. Like literally everybody else did. And he told people, thank you for coming. So hopefully that'll be okay for that for you, 847.
Now, were those Big Macs purchased by MJ, or was that sounds like a sponsored
sponsored all day?
Yeah.
It was a card for you to, you know,
come on.
Yes.
Buy the Big Macs.
Well, did you see what he did with his fan?
Yes, I did see that, Carm.
You like that?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
So the guy that wore the jersey on the court that he wore Jordan tank top, Bulls shorts, Michael shoes. It turns out the guy is autistic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw this, yeah.
Yeah, and Mike got word of it because the internet's the internet, and he saw the video, and he sent him two boxes worth of Jordan gear.
And called him.
And that's called cool. him.
Yeah.
Yeah, how cool is that?
How come MJ never calls you?
He's got the restraining order on him.
Ah, yeah. I forgot about that. It's a good restraining order.
I did hear through the grapevine of somebody who worked for the... No, I'm speaking bad on my guy.
Uh-oh.
But I heard through the grapevine people that have worked for the Charlotte Hornets. That ain't a day at the beach working for Mike. Yeah. Which probably doesn't surprise anyone.
Doesn't surprise me.
Hey, yeah. This is just coming across. You thought we were done with A-Rod?
Really? No, I didn't, actually.
So, Giancarlo Stanton is out for the year. That's some news within the last hour. And I guess the Marlins GM actually said today that the Marlins will give A-Rod consideration.
Consideration, huh?
He's, quote, an available player.
Well, he is. And that's...
What happens to the contract, though?
Well, that's he would have to. The Yankees are on the line for the money. He's owed $27 million combined between the last.
So it would have to be a trade.
No, I think he's been given his unconditional release. If you sign him, they can sign him for the minimum.
Oh, so he's a free agent.
Right. Yeah.
Hmm.
And he's just getting all his money because that's what happens. Those are guaranteed contracts.
Right.
Baseball's great.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I suppose, and I mean, you look at the standings, Florida's right in the mix in the wild card. The Marlins are tied with the Cardinals. Both are 61-56, a game and a half up on the Pirates. I mean, you lose Giancarlo Stanton, Alex Rodriguez, or really any player in baseball is not going to suffice, but you got to do something.
Right.
I mean, who's out there right now, right? I mean, we're at, what is today, August the 15th?
Yep.
I'll give you Melky Cabrera.
JP, did you send me a happy birthday this week? Because Adam Hogue didn't. I don't remember.
No,
getting,
I didn't. No,
I didn't get anything
didn't.
From you either.
No.
Dan Long, nothing.
The show loves you, though.
This show legit hates me.
I did when I sent you an email about something. I did say happy birthday and even
you
included
did.
Your
you
hashtag.
Did. You did.
Hashtag Carmen yeah. birthday.
Yes, Carmen birthday. Dan Long stepped up for me.
I'm going to sell us all out right now, too. I believe Stephanie even mentioned in our meeting this week that you are not in, Carm, that it was your birthday on Thursday.
Yeah,
so we were given the heads up.
Stephanie texted me.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to get emotional.
By the way, the Olympic pool that was green is now back to its normal blue color, case you were worried.
They had to empty the thing.
I know.
It's so good. I love the Olympics.
Hey, Carm?
Yeah, Jared.
I just went to your Facebook page and just wrote happy birthday, so I'm sorry.
That was it? Yeah. Two words, nothing else?
That's it.
See, that's just lame. You gotta.
Now it's deleted. Sorry.
Wow. That was, see, you got a little too greedy there, Carl.
Well, see, when I give a happy birthday on Facebook, I like to personalize it. You know, some people just be like HBD or whatever.
Yeah.
Or just happy birthday. Like if I was wishing you a happy birthday, Jared, I'd be like, to my guy, who is my hero, who was not only a Hall of Fame soccer player, but dominated the gridiron. Happy birthday. Something like that. To my guy, Adam Hogue, the best Bears reporter in the city, and could have been Michael Phelps if he had dialed in on his pool talents.
I know.
Happy birthday. To Dan Long, the greatest producer that I've ever worked with on the weekends at 720 WGN, and a future dominator of the world. Happy birthday.
I just wrote on yours.
Carm.
Mine was a little bit more creative.
What was it, Hogue?
We'll save it for after the break.
I'll let
Carm read it during the break.
Okay, great. We'll talk Bears football coming back here. Bears are headed off to New England. So is Adam Hogue.
Yeah, got a nice 6 a.m. flight tomorrow.
6 a.m. or for the Hoagie. Headed out to see Bill Belichick real fast. Are the Cards going to retaliate tonight? We got 20 seconds. Yes or no? Do you expect Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant to get beamed because the Cubs hit Matt Holland? And they hit another Cardinal yesterday, too.
No.
No.
Okay. If it's a 7-1 game tonight and the Cubs are kicking the living daylights out of them, someone's getting clunked.
That's dumb.
Although they do have to play him 7 more times, so there's time. At some point, it's going to happen.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago Sports Spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
The Mark Carmen birthday celebration continues here on 720 WGN. Please call in 312-91-7200. Wish him a happy 50th birthday.
Got a text here saying, Carm. Or not even Carmen's. Like, seriously, enough with the birthday. What are you, 5? So I wrote back, I'm 43, sir. 43.
What I just said just flew over your head, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
You just didn't even...
The 50 part?
Yeah.
No, I heard it. Are you kidding me? I've been hearing it all week. And all...
and on Facebook.
Yes. Do you know who won a gold medal? Anthony Irvin. He's 35. They call him Gramps. Won the 50-meter free.
16 years after he won the gold.
Yeah.
He won it again.
Went full homeless guy and was on drugs and has Tourette's and all sorts of stuff. And he was at the top, and then he went to the bottom and came all the way back to the top, just like the Bears are about to do this year.
Wow.
Yee.
Wow.
I don't know about that. That's an optimistic look at the Chicago Bears, who scored 0 points in their first preseason game.
Hogue, how does that happen?
I don't know.
How do you not score in the preseason? Come on.
It's hard to do. It is hard to do. They had, what was it, 81 yards, 79 yards going into the fourth quarter.
I got some great stats on them.
Okay.
I mean, they're not even good stats. I just think it's just funny. I mean, you had, let's just go through it.
Okay.
You didn't score. You didn't get, not only did you not score, you didn't get within 40 yards of the end zone.
That's a lot of yards away.
That's pathetic.
That's pretty bad.
I think that's great. I mean, by the way, the Denver Broncos are the Super Bowl champs, but they didn't have four of their starters playing from the team that played on the Super Bowl. One of them's playing for the Bears now, Danny Trevathan, but they didn't have four of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Not within 40 yards in a preseason game. You had a punt blocked for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
You gave up a safety.
Mm-hmm.
You had an interception. I mean, you really couldn't. It would be generally
the only thing that could have been worse is if they gave up a kick return for a touchdown too,
which we're going to get to, by the way, at 4:20, the greatest start in new franchise history. Go LA,
oh, yeah,
go LA Rams. That's so good. So it's pretty clear that there's nowhere to go but up from here, team, right? JP, what were your thoughts?
It was tough to watch, man. I was super excited that we got a chance to have, you know, Bears football back, and I knew I wasn't going to get a lot. I know, you know, Hogue, it's funny because I know you're there, so I watch a lot of your tweets just to see some of the stuff that you're talking about that you can see, you know, at the game. And you're talking about the one thing that I know for sure is that you don't really game plan against, you know, in preseason. You're going up basically all the stuff that you've been learning up this point and you use it out there, but you're not really scheming against other teams. But you just thought that I thought I would see just a little bit more.
Yeah, I just thought that they were maybe caught off guard a little bit by what the Broncos were doing because they didn't spend time preparing for that. You know, they came out with a pretty – they were still huddling, but they were huddling quickly and pushing the tempo a lot, right? Yeah. And that – it looked like the defense was a little bit gassed there. And then on the other side, I mean, they were bringing the house a lot. And I thought that caused some confusion for the offensive line. But, you know, the Bears blitz too. And to their credit, both John Fox and Jay Cutler downplayed – that idea that, you know, that they didn't scheme for the game, so that was an excuse. And they both downplayed that after the game when I asked them about it. I don't know. I'm not willing to make huge grand conclusions off of one game. It wasn't a great start. I'm worried about the offense. I didn't come away from the game worried about the defense, even though they gave up three third and longs, because Willie Young nearly forced a fumble. Yeah. On one of those, and the number one defense almost came out of that game with two takeaways, which would have been a huge positive step. I mean, just getting one takeaway like they did was positive. But offensively, man, and I was sitting there watching practice today. There's not a lot of depth, and I hate to say it, but they are like, if Kevin White and Alshon Jeffrey go down,
yeah, it's rough.
They could be like 3-13 this year, and I'm not even kidding.
Listen, I've said it from before camp started. I was more worried about this Bears offense than I was the defense because you started to see, you know, some of the additions that this defense made. But offensively, it's going to be difficult, man. And you got to hope that both those guys can stay healthy. And that offensive line, Hogue, you put it out there on Twitter. I saw it. You were like, you know, they try to play it off like this offensive line was going to be not an issue, but as you look at it depth wise and stuff, you can't have serious injuries and think you're going to improve and win 9-10 games with you can't pray and hope. You can pray and hope, but you never know what's going to happen with offensive linemen. You know there's going to be rotation and guys have to kind of move in and move out, and if that's the case, I just don't know if they can hold up.
Well, I think it's overly clear that the defense is going to have to carry them. Right. I mean, they're just going to have to be that good.
Which is scary because I don't know if they're that good.
Right. And right.
I mean, I think they have a chance to be top 10, but I don't know if they have a chance to be like 2005 Bears defense that was carrying an offense that just really could not move the ball at all.
No.
They're not even close to that level. Mm-hmm. So that's where I start to look at this and I go, okay, offensively, if everyone stays healthy, they'll be okay. You know, they'll be able to move the ball. Jay will have two big targets to throw to. If Zach Miller's healthy, he's a good enough player at tight end. You'll be okay with the running backs. Hopefully the offensive line can block enough to get some production out there. But if any one of those guys I just mentioned gets hurt, they're going to be in trouble on offense. They really are.
And the chances are, at least as far as...
I just named three guys that couldn't play last year.
Right,
Zach Miller played most of the year. He got hurt at the end. But throughout his career, that's been a problem.
Right, hurt. And Alshon Jeffrey hurt 50% of the time. And Kevin White hurt 100% of his NFL career to this point.
So far, yeah.
Now
Kyle Fuller's hurt. Not that I think Kyle Fuller is a make-or-break player, but that's another position I don't think they have a whole lot of depth at cornerback.
You know the difference maker who needs to be on the field on the defensive side, and that's Pernell McPhee. If he's not on the football field, man, that defense is a little bit different. They're a little bit more charged up when he's on the football field and he's healthy.
Is that more Bryce Callahan? Is that the name that if there's no Kyle Fuller who got beat for the Broncos' first touchdown by 10 yards?
Yeah, Callahan, you mean?
Yeah. That's what I thought. Did I not say that?
You said Callahan, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he did. But then you said Kyle Fuller, like he got beat.
Oh, no.
I'm just clarifying for the listener. I know what you were saying. I'm just clarifying that it was Callahan who got beat.
Callahan got beat by 10 yards. He also did have a deflection, which ended up in a Jarrell Freeman pick.
Right, and I think that's why they like him. Now, and I mentioned this in our podcast, by the way. There's a new episode of Intentional Grounding you can find online at WGNRadio.com. I think it's fair to point out on the touchdown, yes, it was bad defense. Whether he didn't know what defense they were in, which was clearly zero man, he was in one-on-one coverage against Demaryius Thomas and should have known that, or if he got caught peeking in the backfield and thought the play was over. Either way, that's not a good enough excuse. Now, that being said, ideally when the regular season starts, Bryce Callahan's not one of your two outside corners. He's your slot, and that's where he's been playing during training camp. In that moment, with Tracy Porter not playing the other day, he was forced on the outside and was up against Demaryius Thomas. Callahan has not practiced a whole lot out there. He's not good enough to face Demaryius Thomas.
That's a tough assignment,
And it was a tough assignment, exactly. When the play he made on the ball the next series, that's why they like him as their nickelback. Yeah. Because they think if he's a little bit, in the middle of the field a little bit more, opportunity to make a little bit more plays on the ball, not be exposed in one-on-one coverage against one of the best wide receivers in the entire league. That's why they like him there. So a lot of what happened Thursday night, there needs to be some context, not necessarily excuses, but context.
312-981-7200. Excitement level on the Bear? Anybody? Crickets? 312-981-7200. Feel free.
That's amazing, by the way. That's like a world record.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Hey,
to have that noise with the Bears in this town.
Go, get focused for New England. I think that this is fun. Reunite with Martellus.
What's the storylines for this week? There's a number of them.
Right.
I can go.
Let's go.
Obvious to a little bit more distant.
Well, let's do that right after this quick little break. And we also have some NFL news that revolves around Super Bowl 51 and one of the most prominent singers of all time.
Hello.
She's not going to be there. Denied. Learn how real Chicagoans live, the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV, 720 WGN.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch and it's bringing me out the dark.
Yeah.
Finally, I can see you crystal clear.
Come on, JP.
Go ahead and sell me out and I'll
I can't sing like this.
See, I'll leave with every piece of you.
So Adele.
Wait, can we talk about what just happened in the break first? Because that was the best.
Go ahead.
So JP, Carmen looks at the clock to see how much time he has. Out loud says, 32 seconds. Going to the bathroom. Starts going out the door, immediately turns around and realizes there's no way in hell you would have gotten back in 32 seconds. What were you thinking?
I think I would have made it.
No, there's no way.
32 seconds.
I know where you sit. There's no way that you could get back.
Bathroom's right out there. We had Adele would have been rocking, and I would have come in, and I wouldn't be now all fidgety in my chair. Done. Now I'm in a fidgety moment.
You probably could have if you didn't wash your hands coming back.
Oh, correct.
No chance you would have washed your hands.
Yeah, right. I mean, but we're not exactly talking about the most sterile situation where I sit here.
Well, what do you think Brian Noonan thinks about that? He's coming up here in an hour and a half, and you're not washing your hands.
When Noonan comes in at 6 o'clock, the first thing he does is disinfect the entire studio. So it's kind of irrelevant. Carm, did you log off everything? Get out of here, and now I'm going to start cleaning because you're a disgusting human being.
Okay, we'll tell you why we were just playing Adele in a second, but I teased the storylines for this week in New England.
Go ahead.
Okay, here's the obvious ones: Martellus Bennett.
Yes.
Shea McClellan.
Ooh. Yep.
With the Patriots now. Okay, here's a little bit less obvious, and I kind of forgot about this until today. Chris Long is on the Patriots now. Ooh. Kyle's brother. Forgot. He's no longer a member of the Rams. He got released in the offseason, signed with the Patriots. So now they played each other in 2013. Do you remember that game where a little scrum broke out that Kyle was involved in and his brother Chris came running off the bench?
That was great.
To pull him out of there. Now, last year, the Bears went back to St. Louis, but Chris didn't play in that game. So they did not face each other. So not only will they have a game on Thursday against each other, but they're going to practice against each other for three straight days. Now, with Kyle not at tackle, they won't go head-to-head as much as they would have last year, but it's still an interesting storyline.
Plus, at any time you get to go and see Bill Belichick for a couple of days, be around that New England situation, that's a cool opportunity for an Adam Hoge, I would think.
It is. I'm going to be staying right next to Gillette Stadium.
Okay.
Be around a winning organization for 4 days. It'll be different. You know, the Bears have not played in a playoff game since I started covering the team six years ago.
When's the last time they did something like this? I don't remember.
Well, they went to Indianapolis last year.
Yeah.
Okay, but that doesn't count because that's
why
not? Because it's not the Patriots. Like, there's just something different about playing New England. I mean, going to the
Colts. Well, last year at this time, everyone was talking about the Colts as like a Super Bowl favorite.
All right, I take it
Andrew
back.
Andrew Luck, Pernell McPhee was talking about how great Andrew Luck was. That, by the way, was the first indication. That week where the Bears hung with the Colts, first indication that the Colts were going to have a bad year,
right?
Was that week, yeah. I'm saying that sort of as a joke, but really, actually, seriously, that was the first indication that the Colts were not going to be very good last year. Their offensive line was no gooda. Another storyline: Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep, Eastern Illinois, the
Eastern
Panther.
Illinois, Arlington Heights. He is he's already in his third year there.
Well, he's going to be starting the first four games because Tom Brady cheated.
Yes, he is.
He did.
Let's just say it, just like that. That felt so good.
But the one thing about Garoppolo that I like is that he's in a nice little situation there.
He is.
Yeah, he's a good quarterback.
I liked him coming out of Eastern. I liked him a lot. I thought, you know, he could have played. I thought he could have been drafted by a different team and been starting by year two.
Well, it's a huge audition for him. And you know what? I mean, I wouldn't rule out even a team like, per se, the Chicago Bears to be paying heavy attention to somebody like that as you try to, at some point, they're going to have to move on from Jay.
Yeah.
And he's going to have a 4-week tryout, and it very well may be that New England ends up trading him for a second, third, fourth round pick, depending on how he plays. I mean, that's got to be on the table, right? If he plays great.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they also drafted Jacoby Brissett this past year. Look at that organization. They have Tom Brady, maybe the most stable, clearly one of the best quarterbacks in the league of all time. Okay, and they're still drafting quarterbacks. Then you have the Bears. Did you see what Dak Prescott did last night for the Dallas Cowboys? Now, I'm not going to base a whole career off of one game, but he looked pretty damn good last night Los Angeles. And that was a kid that, you know, if you go back to the spring and what I was saying about Dak, I was sort of wishy-washy on him, but I kept saying the word intrigued. He intrigued me enough that I was willing to take him in the fourth round, despite the DUI that he did get last offseason. I wonder how much that pushed him back. The Bears had three picks in the fourth round. Oh. They didn't pass him up just once. Not just twice. Three times. Yeah, they passed him up three times in that fourth round, and the Cowboys picked him a few picks after that.
Baller.
Man, one of those fourth-round picks, I feel like...
That is... that's painful. No. I just felt pain.
Now let's look at who the Bears took in the fourth round. DeAndre Hall, who looked great the other night. Okay. Looks like he has a ton of potential. Deion Bush, Jared Payton's best friend out of Miami.
Yes.
Okay. He looks okay. He looks like he belongs as at least a backup. We'll see if he can come on any stronger. And then Nick Kwiatkowski, though, the linebacker out of West Virginia, who a lot of people liked. A lot of people liked that pick. He's been hurt. He's got a hamstring, and we haven't even seen him. So I can't even judge him yet in camp.
I'm not saying that – listen, I it's a fourth-round pick, and it's one preseason game, and I have no idea. But if it does turn out that Dak Prescott is a credible backup to Tony Romo, and then he ends up replacing him,
yeah,
that's going to be horrendous.
That's going to be tough to live with.
Yeah,
because based on the odds, you know at least one of those fourth-round picks the Bears took are not going to make it.
Oh, yeah. And but the fact is that it all started from the conversation of how the Patriots, you know, go about getting quarterbacks, even though they have one.
Yeah, good point. That's
what's the deal here? You know,
yeah.
It's just the future. I need to see the future, and you have to figure that out by going and drafting. I thought they would get one this draft, and I like Dak Prescott, man. I actually got to see him live play, and he impressed me by how big he is and how physical he is and his ability to throw. And I understood that the stuff that happens outside of football that kind of knock you down. But he's a guy that I thought played in the SEC who was pretty dominant and got to play against top players every single week.
Well, and I am more critical than anybody when it comes to off-the-field stuff during the 4 months where you're trying to get drafted. It is your career. I mean, could you imagine, Carm, if someone told you, you have 4 months to impress every radio station in the country, and you have a chance to get drafted in the first round, if you just take care of your business, off the field, do everything you can with the mic, you know, on, just don't get in any trouble, and then you get arrested for a DUI in that time. Or these guys, the most mind-boggling thing is these guys who get smoking weed before the combine and fail a drill. I mean, that is, what are you doing?
Well, you're
like Christian Jones, he was probably a third or fourth round pick. He goes undrafted because he was stupid enough to get caught for a drug test at the combine. That's crazy. Now, to get back to Dak, though, the reason why I was willing to overlook the DUI a little bit when I would usually just say, sorry, taking him off the draft board, was because if I did the homework, and it really did sound like this was a one-time mistake or something that was out of the ordinary for his character, rather than some of these guys that get a DUI at that time, well, it's because they have a problem.
I mean, we're talking,
and they can't resist.
Right. I mean,
and that doesn't seem like it was the case with Dak Prescott.
Well, you're talking about like three different variables: one, professional athletes, or even elite college athletes, or even middle of the road college athletes. A lot of them think they're invincible, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. And they're never going to get caught. There's two, it's the NFL, and it's professional sports. And as gross as getting a DUI is, it's really that if that's going to disqualify you, you're disqualifying a lot of guys who Hall of Fame type players that 99.9%, they make that 100% of teams would take. So again, it's not,
there's a balance.
It's right.
Yeah. It's hard for these teams, but maybe that's why the Bears didn't draft him. Maybe it was the DUI.
Listen, if you're willing to take on Ray McDonald, I'm okay
but
with it.
But that was maybe that had something to do with it, because that got thrown right back at them and made them look stupid.
Well, okay, stay in your lane then.
Yeah, but we know what it really is all about, though, Hogue and Carm. Come on, man. It's about if you can get a guy that you believe can be an impact on your team, or a guy that you think has some type of potential, more than likely, guys, they're going to take that risk. I feel like it, and it's a different situation than what McDonald was going through.
We're going to get into the newsroom in 30 seconds here. Adele was offered to do the halftime for Super Bowl 51, and she said no, which sucks, because I would have enjoyed me some Adele. I would have gotten so into it.
I would have liked it, yeah. I could have done some Adele.
This is Adele's quote: "The show is not about music, and I don't really / I can't dance or anything like that. They were very kind. They did ask me, but I said no.
Who's like their, is Adele like your secret kind of closet singer that you're a fan of?
I love Adele.
I mean, I respect Adele.
But like, is there someone that you're driving around in your car, you got the windows down, you're blasting it on the radio, and you're really into it, but you're kind of not sure you want the people next to you to know you're listening to it?
Can we play one of those songs coming back after the three?
You know who it is for me?
Who?
Carrie Underwood.
Ooh.
Love Carrie Underwood.
Country's uncomfortable to like.
I love country. I blast it all the time.
I'll blast some Carrie.
Get some Carrie coming back here, and then I want to get Me Gustas 2 on the show as well. 4:30, which is on the Barack Obama playlist, which came out. Barack Obama's got the coolest playlist ever.
He's just the coolest guy ever.
If you don't like his politics, that's fine, but...
You have to admit he's a cool dude.
The dude is the dude. The president of the United States.
You can call him the dude.
He's got some sweet songs.
He's got a left-hand jumper, too.
He does.
We'll kick off for the Rams. And football is back in Los Angeles for the first time since 1994. Lucky Whitehead dodged some traffic around the 10, and now he's in the clear. Goodbye. The return to Los Angeles, not so lucky for the Rams. Whitehead goes the distance.
How about that first call for Sean McDonough, though?
Is that not unbelievable? That's like Cub-like.
Well, I mean, there's a couple things going on there. First of all,
that was Cowboy.
That's how you return to the L.A. Coliseum for the first time in 22 years.
Cowboys, Rams, first preseason game. The Coliseum packed. The Rams are back. First, touchdown,
Cowboys. But seriously, that call from Sean McDonough, who, by the way, is doing Monday Night Football now because Tirico went to NBC. That was a good call.
It was a solid call.
First of all, that's his first call on the broadcast, and then the sneak in the Lucky there at the end. Lucky Whitehead was the returner's name.
It's a great name.
Great name.
Lucky Whitehead.
Really solid name.
Sounds like a character in a, what was that HBO series with on the like the 1920s mobsters?
Are you talking the Sopranos?
No, 1920s.
Oh, you're talking about with
Boardwalk Empire?
Yeah. Doesn't Lucky Whitehead sound like a character on Boardwalk Empire?
Lucky Whitehead could be on Boardwalk Empire.
Yes, could be.
He could not be on the beat on 720 WGN.
Why not?
Adam Hoge, Jared Payton, Mark Harmon. He could be. It's fine. Lucky Whitehead. That's our when one of us is off next, Lucky's going to be filling it in. Hey, I want to get into some memorabilia because I know JP's got thoughts on this. It's a Muhammad Ali boxing glove story that was making the rounds today. But before we move on from the NFL, JP, was your did your mom ever get involved with your coaches? Or did Copay know not to do that?
Nah, mom never got involved with the coaches. Never. Neither did my dad wasn't like that either. He just kind of let coaches coach. Why?
Well,
I'm ready to do some defending here.
Joey Bosa, he's the third overall pick of the San Diego Chargers, formerly of Ohio State.
Okay.
He's on a holdout because he wants more money up front. It's even though salaries are slotted in the NFL, somehow he's on this massive holdout.
Okay, that way to gloss over the issue, but I'll clear that up in a second.
Well, okay.
Go ahead.
That's fine. You clear that
up. I'm ready to defend Joey Bosa.
Okay, great. Cheryl Bosa, a.k.a. hashtag Mama Bosa, goes on Facebook and says, I wish we pulled an Eli Manning on draft day. Eli drafted by the Chargers forced his way to the Giants.
Okay.
And is, you know, mom inserting herself into contract negotiation.
Now,
bad move by mom.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This was a comment in response to someone else's post on the issue, I believe. I don't think she went on Facebook and went on some epic rant about what's going on with her son. Ow. The point I'm making there is I think it's a mom who maybe is not used to the spotlight yet and realizing that anything she posts anywhere, even if it's a comment to someone else's post, is probably going to get picked up by a media organization.
Hoge, I don't know though, man. Sure. Bosa was he went to Ohio State. He was big time. I don't think she really cared. I think she just wanted it out there.
Well, and maybe that's fine because The thing is here, the Chargers are the ones who are going against the grain here. Yeah. Yes, these are all slotted, but all Joey Bosa is asking for is the exact same treatment every other pick in that spot, top five pick actually, not just top three, has gotten in terms of the money up front. He's not asking for anything different. It's the Chargers that are trying to do something different here. And I don't know if it's worth doing this huge holdout over, but he's also probably getting plenty of encouragement from the NFL Players Association and agents that have been doing this for a while now since the contracts were slotted, and they don't want to give up their ground. He's representing a lot more than just himself here.
Well, okay. I'm not... Joey Bosa wants to hold out. He feels like he's being treated unfairly. Cool. Go ahead. Cheryl Bosa, or more importantly, parents who overstep their bounds, especially when your kid is 22 years old. No, can't have it. Sorry. I mean,
it's an ugly situation, though.
It's not good.
And that comment from her,
Cheryl,
should have pulled an Eli.
Yeah. I mean, what are you doing?
That's ugly.
It's brilliant, though. I love it.
Yeah, but Eli Manning wouldn't play in San Diego because it wasn't just like a knock on the Chargers, on the whole
city. By the way, what's wrong with him? Why would you not want to play in San Diego?
Because
it seems, but hold up, it seems deeper than all this. This organization has had more issues like this, where stuff that I've been hearing that it's from under the surface that, I don't know, man. It's not good. Even though the weather seems nice, Hogue, and it's pretty out there,
great.
And it's great, but that organization has got some issues.
Yeah, they do have issues. They have they're trying to battle to stay in San Diego right now, trying to get that new stadium built on the ocean front, which would be great.
They,
by the way,
they wanted that LA love. It reminds me of when I was a play-by-play broadcaster for a St. Edward's University. There was a player there that
was holding out for big money.
Well, it was like the last non-conference game, and he was sick. He had like a 100-degree fever, or maybe his ankle was like slightly sprained. And so the mom called up the coach and was like, yeah, Jeff's going to just sit this one out and be ready for the conference season. And it's like, that's not how it works. Did I just say his name? I didn't mean to do that. But that, I didn't say the last name. There's a million of them. So, I mean, are you kidding? Your son is in college. He's on the basketball team. This is not the fifth grade basketball team. You don't get to tell the coach.
So he pulled an Anthony Davis, not the Pelican, but the Wisconsin Badger, 2004.
What did he do? I'll
never forgive him the rest of my life. It's the last game of the season in Iowa City, your alma mater. They get I can't remember if Michigan beat Ohio State or Ohio State beat Michigan, but whatever it was, there was a big upset on that end, and it allowed Wisconsin to go into that game at Iowa knowing all they had to do was win to get to the Rose Bowl.
And
Anthony Davis has a tiny hamstring injury, won't play, stands on the sideline the entire game with the Rose Bowl on the line because he's worried about getting drafted.
I think... I mean, a hamstring's a little bit different, but if you're getting
the Rose Bowl, this is your career, right? Your college career.
Yeah, but he's thinking about his NFL paper.
Just like
and I will admit that was 12 years ago, and my now that I'm a little bit more grown up,
it's all about that paper.
I have a little bit more sympathy for him than I did back then. That was rough, man. Come on, dude, have some pride for your school. Rose Bowl.
JP, what would you have done at Miami, at the U?
Shoot, man. I mean, I'm a different breed. I would have tried to play somehow, but.
That's what I'm talking about. You need players like that to get through the owies, like John Fox says. And Jimmy Leonard picked off two passes in the first quarter of that game. Wisconsin was a heavy favorite. Never should have lost.
Let me tell you something.
That was brutal.
Let me tell you something, Hogan Carm. In my situation, man, there was a lot of running backs. There was another one that could come in. So, man, if this is your time, you don't want anybody else to come in, you better find a way to play, man.
I'm trying to think of who the backup was that year.
Go Badgers.
Go Badgers.
312-981-7200. Coming back here, there was a pair of or a piece of memorabilia that sold for $600,000. I want to know if Jared Payton bought it.
Jesus.
Well,
600K.
I mean, maybe I think this guy would have donated it to JP because he loves him so much. The family does. So we'll hit that coming back. 600K. 720 WGN. All right, JP, you're a Muhammad Ali guy, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Everybody loves Muhammad Ali. Black Superman, can I get the song? Muhammad, okay, so Muhammad Ali's gloves from the Fight of the Century, 1971, Smoking Joe Frazier, they sold this morning for $606,000. I'm sorry, $375,000. 606,375. Now, these gloves, JP, because I know you're a businessman, and you're like the only businessman on the show, so I'm coming to you here. Here we go. Thank you, Dan Long. In 2014, memorabilia collector Jeff Rosenberg, who I think I saw at Temple the other day, thank you. Rosenberg and Carm, he should have asked me. Rosenberg bought him in 2014, sells him in 16 for $218,000 more. Yeah. That is a pretty good return, team.
Huge.
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 Huge. 33%, team.
I like that.
Actually, I'm sorry, that's 50% because he bought it for four, sold it for six. That'd be a 50% return.
So,
way to go, Rosenberg. Rosenberg called owning the gloves an honor the past 2 years, and now he's happy to put them on to somebody else in a good home and cash in for $606,375.
Oh, he was waiting for the
Rosenberg.
For the death.
Wow.
Rose, right? He's like, yeah. This
come
dude,
on.
This dude's going to die, and I'm in on these gloves, and I'm going to make $200K. Rosenberg.
That's a good business deal.
I've seen the Sonny Liston. He fought Sonny Liston in 64, and a pair of those gloves went for 836.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
836.5.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, for the Liston fight in 64. Here's a chance for you to weigh in on the program. If you could have any piece of memorabilia...
I got it.
312-981-7200. We will pool our resources together.
Michael Phelps' Speedo.
What?
Phelps' Speedo is a good one.
Right?
No.
I would go so fast.
You would probably wear them around the house.
That was uncomfortable.
I don't think. Yeah, speaking of uncomfortable.
That was.
I don't think.
I don't know what that was, but that was legit uncomfortable.
I don't think those would be very comfortable.
How did he just jump into. I want Phelps' Speedo.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh, come on. I'm not going to come up with a serious answer on the fly like that. I gotta bring some humor to the show.
MJ's game-worn jerseys are rising. I would take one of those. 1992 Olympics and a game-worn 96-97 going for?
Wait. Say it again.
Michael, 92 Olympics jersey or...
Number 9?
Number 9.
That's my jersey.
How much?
$5.
$60K.
Yeah, I'm good.
$60K for that one.
I don't like basketball jerseys.
Basketball jerseys are hard because, you know, you're not going to wear them.
I don't like wearing jerseys anyway.
Yeah,
but,
me either.
But still, the basketball one's not very practical ever.
Okay, hold on. So, you go to a Hawks game.
Yeah.
Do you wear a jersey? Blackhawks, we're talking.
I don't really go to Hawks games. No one ever offers me tickets around here.
No one ever offers. Wow. Did you hear that, Jimmy? It's coming at you, Deacon.
Nah.
Not getting those tickets.
I'm staying far from that one, okay?
JP goes.
Yeah, do you wear a sweater?
Every once in a while, it depends. It kind of depends what color shoes I'm wearing. Like, I wear my Chucks, then sometimes I'll wear them.
They did give us those nice ones at that broadcast this year, though.
They did. They did. Thank you,
Chicago
Blackhawks.
I would probably wear that one.
But so
that was a nice.
You go to a Hawks game, it's 50-50 in the jersey, outside the jersey. Maybe even 75.
It's probably more than that. Yeah. I feel like that sport, more than any other, has like the greatest percentage of fans at the game wearing the jerseys, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bears would probably be second. A lot of people at Bears games wearing jerseys.
See,
I was actually seeing a couple tweets of like there was nobody, no current Bears. A lot of fans were wearing a lot of...
There weren't.
A lot of like Urlacher and Peyton jerseys.
I saw Johnny Knox jersey before Kevin White.
I mean, I feel extremely uncomfortable putting a jersey on.
Yeah, I don't.
Me too.
There was a time where I owned a lot of them. I probably still have a lot of them, but I never wear them anymore.
I have a bunch. Throwbacks. I have a bunch of throwbacks.
What's your coolest one?
Man, I got that. I got a
I'll trade
Magic
you.
Johnson, Michigan Ooh. State white.
Ooh. Oh, ooh. That's
yeah,
pretty good.
It's pretty nasty.
Ooh.
What else I got? I have.
I got one you would love, JP. Ken Dorsey.
What?
Miami.
Is it Bo Kimble?
Bo Kimble, Loyola Marymount.
Yeah, I have that one too. Like I have that the dark one that he was wearing on the free throw line.
These like your dad's that he left for you?
They're actually like Mitchell and Ness type. Like I actually bought these just because I wanted to rock them. They're huge though. From back in my days when I was in Miami rocking them, but I found them the other night.
Was 34 into that? I'll trade you one of mine for one of yours.
Yeah, man, I got a lot of memorabilia from everybody. Anybody who you can think of.
We got Matt Stewie in the house.
Oh yeah. No, I'm talking about like
other sports.
Yeah,
Marino,
like other sports. Like my dad was.
You got Mike.
Yeah, like he got Mike. He's got
Bo Jackson.
Yeah, he's got any time that he would go somewhere to a golf outing, he would call somebody and tell them to like, yo, listen, I'm gonna bring you this, you bring me that, and we'll switch.
I wish I had those trading chips.
You didn't see the ball that I right before the baseball season, I tweeted out the picture of the Mickey Mantle baseball signed to me, and my dad called Mick. He was like, yo, I got you, and they ended up switching some stuff early on. Yeah,
Mickey Mantle, jeez.
Yeah,
Carm, what do we have up to offer? Hey, I'm going to New England this week. I'll give you my mic muff from my my microphone. I'll trade you that for
get you a Les Grobstein autograph.
Yeah,
is the original mic Les?
Dude, did you see my tweet from the game the other night? They reversed the media food line at Soldier Field.
I hate that I always have to do this every single show.
I mean,
every show, I feel like I'm like it's.
Tell us how you feel. Let's sit on the couch. How do you feel? Tell us.
I feel bad, but
what you feel bad about?
You shouldn't feel bad.
What do you feel bad about?
I mean, it's just every show. I'm like, it's like a one of those mind blowing experiences where I drop something. It's like a DJ Flex bomb. You know,
JP bomb.
Listen, you're just cooler than both of us combined.
No.
Yes. You are.
I love the stories.
But I do have probably one of the greatest things are those my dad's last. Like I have a lot of his big game jerseys, like game worn. So like his final jersey that he wore at Soldier Field, like I have that.
That's cool. Can I have it?
No. I keep those things because man, those are you just. Man, you can't put a price on them. Like you can't when you touch them and you look at them, you're like it's. I can only imagine. Like even his old, my dad wore basically the same shoulder pads his entire career from college and the pros.
That's cool.
Yeah, those are at the the Walter Payton, the dome at Hallis Hall though.
I changed my tennis shorts around. Just in case people were wondering. Hey, Kathy, you want to talk some memorabilia with the Beat, 720 WGN? Kathy?
Hi.
Hello, Kathy.
I'm the bird lady.
Oh, Kathy, the bird lady.
Yes.
That's right. Well, I don't have a jersey, but in 1983, I was at the Cal-Stanford game.
Uh-huh.
Where they had the five lateral passes, and the band ran on the field from Stanford and the... that Jaron Rivera was on the team.
Yeah.
I was at the game, and I had season's tickets, so the next year, the first day of the game, Cal came out with T-shirts with that gameplay on it, which were immediately bought up. So I have one of those T-shirts. It has already been stolen from me once, and I have had to use some tactics to get it back.
Who stole it?
Oh, a teenage kid.
You came into your house and stole your Cal Band T-shirt?
No,
what?
No, I was at I was at camp. I was a camp nurse.
Well, wait, more importantly, what were the tactics you used? Did you send the birds at them?
No, I didn't have birds yet. I was a nurse for the camp, and they were all diabetic.
So
I just told the camp counselor in charge of the boys that I wanted that T-shirt back, and I wanted it by 4 o'clock. And I said, if not, and then I didn't say anything, and I got it back because he knew the if not part he didn't want to hear.
So are you telling me that these kids were kind of being jerks, or they and stealing from you to irritate you, Kathy, or was it because they just really wanted that shirt?
They wanted the shirt.
Yeah, okay.
They know it was mine.
Okay, fair enough. Kathy?
Yeah, because I lived in California, and at the camp was in California, and it wasn't really that long after that game. Mm-hmm. And so one of the kids saw it on the line hanging on laundry day, mm-hmm. and it disappeared. And I said, I want my T-shirt back. Since then, I have wrapped it up and put it away.
What are the birds doing today?
They're having fun in their cage, I guess. I don't know. I volunteer at a nature center.
Oh, wow. So, which nature center?
It's called the North Park Village Nature Center. It's on Peterson and Pulaski.
I mean, that's my neighborhood, Kathy. We could be friends. Do you know the guy?
You gotta come over.
All right, I'm in. Adam's coming
too. It's beautiful. It's open 10 to 4 every day.
10 to 4 every day. I do work, but I'll figure something out. Kathy?
Okay.
You're the best.
Okay, see you later.
See you now.
And I still have the shirt. And it's been, what, 20-some years?
That's a good tenure right there.
It is.
Hey, Kathy, take a picture in the shirt and text us next weekend if you don't have it with you right now.
Okay, I will.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye. So you didn't want to invite me? Because I would love to go to the Nature Center as well.
You're in. You're in, buddy.
Yeah, why didn't you invite JP?
Because I know JP's not coming to the Nature Center.
You know I'm not either.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm more likely to go with you than Hogue.
That's true. You are. I was trolling Hogue.
What did she do again? Like
what
with the
mean?
Whole bird thing? Why was that? I'm trying to think.
Because that was you. Well, you had a meltdown about dogs and strollers.
Oh, and she has birds. Yeah, she put her birds in the stroller.
She puts her birds.
And she takes her birds for walks.
Yes, and you know, the neighborhood that I live in, we're going to get to news in a second, but I went to breakfast the other day. We're sitting outside at Paline's, which is on Ravenswood and around
Did
Foster.
You see her?
I didn't see her, but this dude has got like two parrots that he has on the back of his bike. And he just rolls up there with his parrots, and then he
in a cage or not in a cage?
They're on the outside of the cage eating the metal. I'm sitting outside, you know, it's outdoor breakfast eating. He's like, "Do you mind if I leave my birds right here?" And I'm like, "Dude,
it's a very personal question.
I mean, your big parrot is right next to me, and I'm having eggs. I don't know if that's the look that I'm going for on my breakfast, brother." And the person that I was with, you know, she's like, "Can you?" No, but he kind of just picked up on the cues and moved moved
that did not happen. You
no, that happened.
That
100% happened. And now I'm wondering if Kathy's married to that dude.
She probably is. Some dude rolled up with a parrot and parked it right next to him.
Off his bike. And then he sat down and had breakfast at 10 a.m., maybe even earlier than that. And his order was like matzo ball chicken soup, which I didn't even know they had. He's right into a soup.
You should know that.
Why
do you not know that?
It's 9:30 in the morning. You're getting pancakes, French toast, eggs, sir. Why are you having soup and why do you have birds? And they just end.
Two very valid questions.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
Five o'clock hour, 720 WGN. Cubs and Cardinals tonight from Wrigley. Final game of the four-game set. Adam Hogue off to New England tomorrow. Bears and the Patriots practicing 2 days, and then they'll play on Thursday.
What do you think I should ask Bill Belichick?
Why are you so adorable?
Remember how much respect he has for WGN Radio?
No.
Do you remember the owners' meetings?
No. What did he say?
That viral video?
I don't remember this.
There was a viral video of him pushing away all the microphones.
Okay.
So he sits down at the table, and all these recorders and microphones that are there, He pushes them all away from him. The only one he didn't touch was the WGN 720 microphone that I had in my hand.
Bum, 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 bum.
Bill Belichick just had that much respect for 720 WGN.
He grew up on WGN.
So now, when I come back this week and see him again, I'm sure he's going to give me a fist pound, be like, yeah, 720. You're my guy.
You're laying that yellow mic head out there. Yo, Bill, yeah. What's going on, man?
Remember this?
We're buddies.
Yeah.
You and William. I'm excited for your trip this week. I will be intent. I'll be all over, let's put it that way, your Twitter feed.
So.
Yes? You all right over there?
It's hard. I'm trying to think about how to approach this. So, originally, there was an off day Wednesday.
Okay. So, you're going to have a day in New England to do something? Is that
right. There was a scheduled off day. The Bears were not going to practice the Patriots. There was going to be no media availability.
Okay, now it's available.
Now there's a practice.
I thought it was only practicing 2 days.
No, it's 3 days now.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's three practices and the game. So, there had been a movement from various members of...
Brad Biggs?
Of the media, led by...
Rich Campbell?
Those of us that host Intentional Grounding on WGNRadio.com.
Adam Johns?
Yeah.
Adam Johns was trying to get a movement started?
Going to Cape Cod on the off day.
Ooh, Johnsy, dreaming it big.
Yeah. Then my theory is that John Fox and Bill Belichick got word of this, said, we're not letting the media have any fun.
You think they changed their practice schedule to make the media work?
Hey, it's Bill Belichick and John Fox. It's a working theory that I think is at least 1% credible.
I mean, I think that they don't want to talk to you, though, in general, and having a day away from an Adam Hogan.
That's a valid point,
too. I think overall that would probably be the case. That's cool. If I were you, I would find your way to the Cape.
But when now?
Just do it. Get it done.
I can't just say get it done. I have to work.
No, you don't. just be there for some of it and get to the COD. Right, Dan? We're not gonna be counting hours on Hogue out in New England. He's gotta have a life. Cape Cod is
we were gonna do an episode of Intentional Grounding from Cape Cod.
Good, do it. There, you're working. Done.
Right.
You're absolutely working.
Even if we're on the beach?
Todd Manley wants you to go to Cape Cod and do Intentional Grounding and send in a picture from the beach and having ice cream. He wants that. And you should go to this greasy breakfast place there, which name I forget, and get the corned beef hash. It's delicious.
Where is it?
It's in what town?
Lots of towns. Oh, yeah. Main Street. Main Street, Cape Cod.
I was making Cape Cod out to be Lake Geneva with only one.
No, it's a giant... part of the state.
I forget where I stayed. I won't be finding out because that's my ex-girlfriend.
Was it Chatham? I got experience.
Give me more options. It wasn't Chatham.
Hyannis.
Might have been Hyannis. Probably not, though. What else you got?
Provincetown.
Could have been Provincetown. I don't think so. What else?
What is that? I'm running out of names here. I gotta Google a map.
Now I'm tempted to ask, but I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Sorry. Didn't mean it. I love the COD. The COD is beautiful. Cape Cod. You ever seen the Cape Cod baseball
league? Falmouth.
Wasn't Falmouth.
Yes. Okay. Don't even bring that up to me right now because I'm really upset. The Cape, actually, we should have checked in on this. The league ended yesterday.
Ooh, that's bad timing.
I was like, we go to a Cape Cod league.
Yeah, but it's like really going like to a high school game. But it's cool. You got,
yeah, but no, they're college players that are, a lot of them are going to play in Major League Baseball down the line. Do you know who played in the Cape Cod League?
A lot is strong, but
Frank
yes.
Thomas played in the Cape Cod League.
Craig Biggio.
Jeff Bagwell.
Three things on that. One, Frank Thomas was at Wrigley the other day sitting in Tom Ricketts' seat. I look over, there he is.
Frank Thomas was?
Yeah, the big hero was just walking down into the club box and sitting down. One time all year I've had good seats, and there the big herd was. Two, I did a video this week, Craig Biggio or Jeff Bagwell, greatest Astro of all time. Answer would be, huh?
Which one's the greatest Astro of all time?
Yeah, that's what I do with my life. I don't know what you're doing during the week, but I'm doing greatest Astro videos.
Probably Bagwell.
It's Biggio. The Beige did it all, man. The Beige was so rock solid.
Well, didn't he get in the hall?
Biggio.
Bagwell's not?
Right. There's speculation on Bagwell with the old juice. So there's that. Okay, moving back to actually what's going on.
Was it Dennis?
No.
Brewster?
No.
Harwich.
No, yes, maybe. Give me two more.
South Yarmouth.
Another one.
Regular Yarmouth.
Neither Yarmouth.
Orleans.
I don't think so.
God, the Cape Cod League's so awesome. Could they have just extended that one more week for us?
You see enough baseball.
Am I being that? I think I'm being only like 50% selfish right now, not 100%.
You and Adam Johns watching Cape Cod League baseball. Has Adam Hoag's life been ruined by the fact that he won't be able to go to the do? And three questions: should Hoag go all Ferris Bueller and not show up for Belichick and Fox being paid by the company to travel to New England?
Here's my window to go. Okay, so it was going to be the off day. The game is until 8 p.m. on Thursday. Pat Finley from the Sun-Times wants to go to Fenway.
Of course he does.
Okay. I've never been to Fenway. Not a game. It would just be the stadium tour. They're out of town this week, unfortunately. That's another downer.
Okay. Just go.
Should I go to Fenway or drive to the Cape for like a nice little late morning, Cape early lunch, then have to rush back to Foxborough?
You go to Fenway. The Cape is a beautiful place, but it's just like, it's, you know, you're at Lake Geneva. You're at any Wisconsin. You're at Door County.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Okay.
I go to ballpark any day of my life.
Okay, but yeah,
you don't go to Wrigley tonight if I want to.
You don't go to Fenway every day.
I go to Wrigley. They're not playing a game, though. It's different. What, am I going to walk around an empty ballpark?
Yeah, play catch. Do something.
They don't let you play catch, do they?
Get creative.
If they let me play catch on the field, I'll go.
Get creative. Put a rock in your pocket and just get out there with Johns and start throwing it around and go all Field of Dreams.
All I think about with Fenway being empty is, have you seen the movie The Town?
Love The Town.
There's like a shootout scene inside Fenway Park.
Great movie, The Town.
That movie's awesome.
Really liked it. Okay, bottom of the hour, we're going to check in with a New England writer, get a little look at the Patriots and a little preview for Bears and Pats. Everybody's excited for some preseason football. I can feel it.
I'll ask him what we're...
That's a good idea.
Hey, 312 asked, did the Sox win?
No.
The game-tying run got thrown out at the plate to end the game.
Yeah.
White Sox baseball. Don't miss it.
They did rally, though, strong and made it very interesting at the end, so give credit to the White Sox. This is the last week to collect your 2016 Chicago Cubs Fathead sticker inside the Chicago Tribune. Head to Jewel Osco and get a special offer from Fisher Nuts on this week's sticker. Coming back, there is one part of the Olympics where we should be dominating, and I'm actually starting to hope that they lose. 720 WGN. We got some great Olympic tennis going on right now.
Stop.
Andy Murray took the first set. Juan Martín del Potro the second.
Is this the gold medal match?
This is the gold medal match.
Is Andy Murray yelling at everybody again?
Be nice to Andy Murray.
Well, why is he yelling?
Because that's what Andy Murray does.
He's just yelling at people during the match. Just relax, dude.
Olympic tennis has been pretty cool. Pretty cool. Rafa Nadal getting a gold medal on the double side, then losing to Del Potro. Did you see what happened this? I don't think you saw this, Adam Hoag. Juan Martín Del Potro is from Argentina. The Olympics are in Rio. Argentina and Brazil have a huge rivalry. So the Argentinians coming on over, they were going nuts in the stands yesterday for Del Potro. Well, the Nadal fan base... Nadal's from Spain, but Brazil took him on because they didn't want to see Argentina winning. So it was raucous.
So the Brazilians were rooting for Nadal.
Right. And so the
why did Nadal lose?
Del Potro, man, is solid. Big, tall Juan Martín Del
Potro. I've heard of him, so he must be good.
There you go. Nadal's also coming back. It's his first tournament since a wrist injury, and he's also past his prime at this point. So there's all that. But the point that I'm trying to make here, Adam, is that a lot of people want more excitement in their tennis, want it to not be quiet. The chair umpire said, hey, this is a tennis match. It's not a basketball game.
Yeah, no, they should cheer. I'm all about the cheer.
So do you want that in golf?
Yeah, I love when I was at the Ryder Cup 4 years ago and Bubba Watson got up to the tee box and he got everyone cheering. Before he smashed a drive right down the middle on the first hole. That was awesome. Speaking of golf.
Justin Rose winning gold.
That was cool, having the golf in the Olympics. However, I wanted a team event. I feel like a team event. You got to make it more like
a scramble.
The way they did it was just like a regular PGA Tour event, except they gave away medals instead of money this weekend.
Right. Right.
And there were a lot less good golfers in it.
I love getting tennis texts. 312, Murray can go pound sand. Wow. Hostile on an Andy Murray.
Yeah. Golf in the Olympics was great, says the 312. It really was. I wish more of the competitors hadn't been so scared of Rio. I think a lot, I don't know, I guess when you're making that much money, you can stay away from it a little bit easier. But I thought a team event the second weekend would have been cool. Like, they should do the individual one weekend, and then they should do the team event the next.
That's not bad. I like it. You know what they also should do? They should tell the United States basketball team just to go home.
Wow.
How
many losses do they have?
None.
Zero. So why don't you relax there?
Today, they beat France 100-97.
Okay. Win's a win.
That's embarrassing. It just is. Sorry.
Why is it embarrassing?
Because it's an all-star team of NBA guys playing France. It shouldn't be a three-point game.
I love the...
come on.
Doug Collins was on the other day, previewing the game against Serbia, and he was just, like, talking up how good Australia was. And then they're showing highlights of Matthew Dellavedova.
How good?
Can't even see the court in the finals.
I mean, they beat Serbia by three. The Serbs were right there. They had a three-ball to tie it. You just went three-point win Serbia, three-point win France. I was watching Tom Thibodeau talk yesterday. We're starting off. He's talking about how they're not finishing defensive possessions.
Well, he's probably really mad about that, right?
That's just not. I,
Are you into the Olympics?
No, the Olympics, yes. Olympic.
You watching it every night?
Olympic basketball, no. Olympics, yes.
I love the swimming.
I get
jacked up for the swimming every night. I don't know why. You know what? I can't get into the track though.
Well, because half the track races just don't mean anything, and they don't look like they're
even running.
Right.
Did you see Usain Bolt yesterday?
Taking the with the stare down.
Yeah, he ran like halfway down, and then he's like, "Is anyone beating me? Oh, this guy on the left's beating me.
What's up, Justin Gatlin?
I'm gonna go a little bit faster than him. I'm still jogging. Okay, the race is over." Like, that's how easy it was. The guy's unbelievable. Do you know who was in that heat that I don't even think that the broadcast even mentioned? Javid Best.
Javid Best was in there?
He was, yeah. He retired from football.
Of the Lions?
He retired from football, tried to make it in track, qualified for the Olympics, got smoked by Usain Bolt. Out of the Olympics.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he absolutely did. Michael Phelps leaves the pool, record 23 gold medals. Huh? 23 golds in how many races? 30.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. That's crazy.
He went gold four times in the 200 individual medley, 04, 08, 12, 16. Twice in the 400, IM. Then the 100 butterfly four times. The 200 butterfly three times. These are just golds. He medaled four times.
What sport do you think you could have been good at? Had you A... put your mind to it,
mm-hmm.
or B, ever even heard of it. Because, like, there's some of these sports where I'm like, what the heck is this? But I think I could be good at it. Like, why isn't handball a thing?
I wasn't bad at handball.
You actually played it?
College or high school, we had it.
Why is it not, like, a thing here? It looks awesome.
You want to play because it, like, hurts your hand, man.
Okay. Sort of playing baseball.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. You swing the bat, and it's February, and it hurts your hands.
I think that I would have been... Hold on a second here. I got to look at the list of Olympic sports. Summer games we're doing?
Yes.
Okay. I think that I would have been incredible at beach volleyball. No. Not water polo. Worst ever. Not wrestling. Not
water polo looks hard.
Really hard.
And I am way too much swimming.
Not weightlifting. Not volleyball. Not triathlon. Not the trampoline gymnastics.
Okay. Did you see any of the trampoline?
I've seen some of the trampoline.
That was crazy.
Yes.
The one of them just landed out like off of the trampoline.
That's good entertainment.
That looks dangerous.
Yeah, it does. Table tennis? No. I love ping pong, but I'm not going to be, I couldn't have been an Olympic athlete. I had synchronized swimming, shooting, sailing, rugby. There's no sport that I would be good at.
I think I was an okay volleyball player.
Not archery.
I should have kept playing. I think I could have been on beach volleyball.
Of all the ones that I'm looking at that I could maybe have like the greatest chance to have done something is perhaps badminton.
Have you ever played it?
Yes.
Really?
I'm a decent badminton player. Got to be quick.
What about equestrian?
Hit the bird. No, not getting on a horse and leaping over poles.
What is the one where it's like, what is equestrian dressage?
They've never heard
of that
word.
That's an event.
No.
Yeah, well, I thought it was dressage. And then Bob Costa said dressage. And I think it
was
just...
Does he age?
No.
Wasn't that the answer to the worst... or least popular Olympic sport thing from last week?
Yeah, Carm's so mad about
it. Equestrian dressage.
I think it means all this. I mean, equestrian is equestrian dressage.
Someone tell me what the point of that was, the sport, because it looked like the whole, you win a medal based on getting the horse to just look cool walking around. Like, that doesn't seem like it's an athletic thing.
Yeah, so
am I wrong? Like, I guess I don't really understand the sport, but like...
I mean, you start talking equestrian, I think a pretty woman. That's where I go. 773 texting, hey, Carmen, do you ever watch the Davis Cup? People are not quite, and then his text gets cut off. Yes, they're not quite quiet. They're not, you meant quiet. Okay, right. So, yeah, no, I watch Davis Cup, and it's awesome when you get the countries involved, and you got horns blowing, and you've got Switzerland and a Roger Federer and a Stanislav Wawrinka taking on whoever, and they're super into it. I like the Davis Cup. You know who's the biggest Davis Cup guy is? Johnny McEnroe. People don't want to do it as much anymore. They don't want to take the time away from their own schedules to compete for their country. It's cool when you have teams in individual sports. It allows you to bond and get a little bit of love.
I'm saying golf should have a team event. And by the way, how did golf go 112 years without being in the Olympics? One of the hardest sports possible.
I don't have a good answer for you there.
Like, it's crazy to me.
It's also not exactly garnering a huge amount of excitement. Golf is back in the Olympics.
You obviously weren't paying attention today. Everyone was watching the golf. It was a dominating Twitter.
Right. See, it's people like you that think that what's going on Twitter is representative of what's going on in the country. Right, Dan?
It is. Have you heard of the election? It's all over Twitter. Donald Trump tweets every 5 seconds.
The Don's had quite a week.
He's had quite a couple weeks. 3 weeks.
Speaking of the...
Keep going, buddy. Keep going.
Speaking of the Don, that feels like it's newsy enough to transition into it.
Back here on the beat, Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen here with you till 6 o'clock. And we're getting ready for a big week in New England. I'll be headed to Boston and Foxborough in the morning for the Bears. Now 3 practices against the Patriots this week, and of course Thursday night's game.
Very jealous, and thank you to WGN for sending you out there. People are texting in, Adam, telling you to go as far out on the Cape as possible. Go to a place called the Sausage Bar, which seems aggressive. And we can talk to Jim McBride of the Boston Globe to see if that's a good recommendation for the Cape. And hey, Kathy, our bird lady, did text in a picture of the T-shirt already. And it's a cool shirt. And I would have stolen that shirt also at camp from you. It's November 20th, 1982. Cal 25, Stanford 20. A cool yellowish-orangish T-shirt with the band on the field and everything. It's pretty cool. Thank you,
that
Kathy.
That is interesting. All right.
It's a cool shirt. Let's bring in Jim McBride, Boston Globe, Bears, Patriots, 3 days of practice, and then preseason game number 2, Martellus Bennett, Jay Cutler, the stare down. Jim, are you excited?
Very excited. Should be a great 3 days of practice and a preseason game. I'm sure these guys will be pretty sick of each other by Thursday night.
Yeah, it should be interesting. The Bears have been pretty chippy in training camp. Jim, there's been some fights that have broken out. Some of it's got out of hand. So I'm interested to see how it goes against the Patriots. But I'm sure Belichick and Fox will kind of have a no nonsense policy this week. Follow Jim on Twitter @GlobeJimMcBride. By the way, Jim, you tweeted out a photo of Bill Belichick today where he's like, I think, staring into the, your soul. It's quite frightening.
That's not uncommon.
I mean, I'm scared just looking at it right now. Let's start with Shea McClellan, because I'm kind of fascinated in how he's going to fit in New England. I mean, I was surprised that they gave him the money that they did after 4 years of pretty much nothing here in Chicago. How have the Patriots been using Shea so far, and how does he figure to fit into this defense?
I think he's going to be used mainly as a defensive end, but he did play some outside linebacker in Thursday night's game against the Saints. He played both positions, and he's been working out at both positions during camp. But I think they see him more as a defensive end, a guy that maybe grooming him to be Rob Ninkovich's replacement eventually. Rob's been in the league now 10 years, so I think that's, you know, they had an eye towards that, and he's fit in really well here. You know, you can't hit the quarterback in camp, but he certainly would have been credited with a bunch of sacks so far had he been able to hit Brady or Garoppolo.
Jim, how's Martellus Bennett doing? I miss him. I think Adam, my partner here, does as well, at least a little bit. No, okay, Adam does not miss him. I miss Martellus. What's your Martellus experience been like so far?
He's really been great. I guess we're still in a honeymoon period.
Yep.
Because he's been very gracious with the media after practice. You know, he's always got the quote of the day when he stops and talks with us. His family's been at most every camp practice. He plays with his daughter after most of the practices. He introduces him to his teammates. She was even in Bob Kraft's arms last week. They were playing after practice. So he's been in great spirits. He talked after the game the other night. He was excited. You know, we'll see as the season goes on if he can if he maintains that disposition. You know, I think we're all interested to see the first time that Gronk has a 10-catch, 127-yard game, and maybe Martellus has two catches. We'll see if he's still in a talking mood after a game like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about that, Jim, because he, you know, same kind of deal. Was great when he got here, awesome with interviews, was a productive player, struggled to stay healthy. But really the two times in his career where I guess things have kind of gone poorly in terms of attitude with Martellus Bennett was when he was in Dallas with Jason Witten, and he wasn't the number one guy. And I don't know if you've talked to him about Jason Witten, but Martellus is very vocal about not liking Jason Witten, which is,
I've heard that.
Yeah, it's bizarre for him to kind of be that open and critical. But I guess that's how he feels. And then last year, towards the end of the year when Martellus was hurt, Zach Miller comes on for the Bears and plays very well, and all of a sudden it was, you know, I think he saw the writing on the wall, and things ended kind of poorly. So I for him to end up in New England, you know, from day one of that trade, I'm just going, this is going to be interesting with him not being the number one guy going in, especially we all know he's looking for a new contract.
Yeah, I think that, you know, him and Gronk have gotten along famously in the short time that they've been together. They've even had some friendly Twitter banter back and forth, can't wait to see you at practice, that type of thing. I think what might be different about this time around is that maybe he's taken that energy and that he's looking for a new contract, and he's going to be a good soldier and just play as best as he can this year and with an eye towards next year, and not really looking at the stats, but looking at if he's healthy, he can contribute to a team, a winning team. Maybe he's hoping to cash in that way rather than just strictly on a numbers basis.
Do you think that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to prove himself to be a starting caliber quarterback?
You know, I think people are going to be really surprised by how good he is. He's had a kind of a slow week in camp, and he didn't have a great night on Thursday night, but he got better as the game went along. I think the thing that people kind of forget is that they're throwing everything at him now. I mean, he's got full range of the playbook, but when the regular season comes around, they're only going to install things that he's comfortable with. And once you see that, I think you're going to see the mistakes are going to be cut down. His decision making is going to be a lot faster, and he's going to distribute the ball more than you know you might see in the preseason, where he's kind of relying on Bennett. I know he relied on him heavily Thursday night, so I think, you know, when the opening bell whistles or sounds, he's going to surprise a lot of people.
We're talking to Jim McBride from the Boston Globe as we look ahead to the Bears' practices in New England this week against the Patriots. With Jimmy Garoppolo, can you get a sense yet, Jim, whether or not they look at him as maybe down the line eventually Tom Brady's replacement, or is he just a guy that they're hoping can fill in and maybe they can turn around and use him as a trade chip?
I think maybe when they drafted him, that's what they had their eye on, a guy that would eventually replace Brady. But, you know, in the 2 years that he's been here, Brady has had two exceptional years and shows no signs of slowing down. So
yeah.
I think maybe at this point their thought about him is maybe we cash him in now if he has a great audition in these four regular season games. Because Brady has really, in the 2 years that Garoppolo has been here, he's won a Super Bowl and they got him to the AFC Championship game, and he's played, his level hasn't dropped off at all. So I don't think that's how they look at him now as the heir apparent. I think they just look at him as a solid backup and someone that they're glad to have because he's, 3 years into their system now.
You know, it's interesting, Jim, here in Chicago that there's a quarterback by the name of Jay Cutler who just keeps
heard of him.
This franchise just keeps to, doubling down on him. And I have more of a positive look at him than I think many do in the city, but I do find it interesting that in New England, you have one of the best quarterbacks of all time, one of the most stable quarterbacks of all time, and yet they go out and they draft Jimmy Garoppolo. They go out and they draft Jacoby Brissett this year. In the past, they've obviously brought in quarterbacks like Matt Castle and gotten them out of there and gotten value for that player. What is that sort of just always been the philosophy under Bill Belichick that you can't have enough quarterbacks? Because here in Chicago, they talk about every year, like to have a quarterback in the draft every year, but it seems like they never actually draft one.
Yeah, I think that's, he always talks about, depth when it comes to quarterbacking and drafting. And so, he raised some eyebrows this year when they took Brissett in the third round. Same with Garoppolo 3 years ago when they took him in the second round. But, he says you always got to keep an eye on the future and you've got to build depth. They've drafted a few guys really late, like Matt Castle, who came in and did well. They've signed some free agents who've done well, like Brian Hoyer. They even drafted Ryan Mallett in the second or third round. I can't remember which one it was. And he was a great backup here. Solid citizen, never had any of the problems that he had in Arkansas. And he's kind of lost his way since he left here. So I think they just they want to have depth behind it there just in case something does happen to Brady. But it's still Brady's show for the foreseeable future.
What is it about the culture there, Jim, that guys go there and all of a sudden they just come correct? Randy Moss comes to mind. You just, threw out Ryan Mallett, who had a potpourri of issues elsewhere, but yet when he was in New England, things went his way because he was, playing by the rules, so to speak. I mean, what would you say?
I think it even goes back to Corey Dillon, who had,
Sure.
There was a guy that was, had all kinds of trouble, in Cincinnati, but he got here and they get with the program. It's an established franchise, it's an established winning franchise. And, this is going to sound like a cliche, but Tom Brady has been the hardest worker in that locker room for years now, and he's also their best player. So I think, guys really do see that, and they say, geez, if the best player on the team is staying a half an hour after practice, how can we not? And guys really buy into that. Brady still has the energy of an 18-year-old kid. He's out there screaming at practice every day. He's getting everyone fired up. You'd never think that this guy was 39 when you see him practice day in and day out. I think guys really feed off that energy.
So if somebody said to you, Jim, what's it like to cover a cheater in Tom Brady, what would you say?
I would say come cover Tom Brady. Because, that's I don't think he's a cheater. He's just a really hard worker. And, if you saw what he put in day in and day out, a day like today where it was like 104 with the heat index and he's out there doing wind sprints when practice is over with a resistance band. It's just a kind of, he's always one of the last ones off the field. So that's what I would say. Come watch him all the time.
So you don't think he knew those balls were going in that bathroom, Jim? Or that's just kind of something that everybody does and it's no big deal?
I think I don't think he thought anything was wrong with the way the balls were prepared. I think they've been prepared for him for years. And if they, if the protocol was wrong at the time, I don't think he ever knew about it. And I think that just got blown out of proportion, not to use the blown, pun intended. But, I know the perception outside of New England is much different about Tom, but I think the people that cover him on a day in, day out basis would, you know, would say he would never put his reputation on the line for something so silly as a pound per square inch issue with the football.
He's Jim McBride from the Boston Globe. You can follow him on Twitter at Globe Jim McBride for the Patriots perspective this week. Jim, I'll be out there tomorrow morning. I'll say hi. I'm the one who doesn't really care about the flake gate and really doesn't think it's that big of a deal. So we'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. We'll see you then.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Good stuff from the New England side of things.
Jim held the line quite well there for Brady.
I mean, come on, dude. Who cares anymore?
Oh, it's...
I'm
not losing sleep, but I love that he's not
one
playing.
One of the dumbest stories of all time in the NFL.
He cheated all day.
I mean, but...
All they do is cheat out there. Jim McBride's a cheater for working covering that team.
Even by definition of a rule, if he cheated, does it really matter the how much the balls are inflated?
It matters.
You think Tom Brady...
He likes a soft ball.
You think Tom Brady, who's been doing this long enough, really needed that kind of edge?
I mean, they won the game
by... He's pretty good last year.
They won the game over the Colts by 70,000 points. So, no, it did not matter in that game. But you know what? When you bend the rules, Adam Hogue, you take the law in your own hand.
I can't believe he's still sitting 4 games for this.
It's so good.
Ray Rice, 2 games.
Well, that's...
Slugged a woman in an elevator.
That's
2
a whole,
games.
That's a whole other story.
Oh, the balls are deflated a little bit? Yeah, that's 4. After 2 years of litigation.
It's the lying and the cover-up. When you get caught in life, you come clean. Adam Hogue, did you not lift the toilet seat today at home?
I always put that down.
Adam, it wasn't down today.
My dad was over then. He always leaves it up.
Adam, your dad's in Wisconsin. Okay, Christy.
I better rush
right.
home and... Yeah. Put it down because my wife's not home.
It's
yet.
Just a lot better just to come correct. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah, no, we were taking some liberties with the balls. I don't think it's anything different than what other teams
do.
Well,
what if he wasn't?
Oh, please. Come on. He 100% was. All right, Brian Noonan's coming up at 6. We've got a little mini Cubs and Cardinals pregame coming up for you tonight. It's the Cubbies. Going for 3 out of 4 versus
go
the Redbirds.
Go Cubs, go.
That's right. 720.
Go Cubs, go.
720 WGN. Northwestern head basketball coach Chris Collins going to be at Wrigley tonight throwing out the first pitch.
And Fitz is trolling him on Twitter.
As he should be. I got confidence in Chris tonight.
Chris Collins tweeted a video of him throwing the baseball around with his nephew from earlier today, saying he's warming up that arm.
Got to get loose, baby.
Hashtag don't bounce it. Fitz retweets him. Pat Fitzgerald, head coach of the Northwestern football Wildcats.
Saying,
wow, you're going to bounce it. Come on.
Well, he sees the nerves on Chris and... He's worried for his fellow Northwestern guy. You can't bounce it. You're Chris Collins. This is about being the best Chris Collins you can possibly be.
Are you going to go to Camp Kenosha at all this week?
Probably not. I'd like to.
I checked out the new practice field the other day.
I saw you.
Oh my God!
Right,
dude. I've been to a lot of college practice fields. I've been to a lot of pro college fields.
Cats have it going on.
That place just blows it away.
Well, maybe.
I mean, now granted, I was in Bourbonnais for 2 weeks straight, where the humidity just sucks down on you.
So Northwestern football, the practice field right on the lake. You got the beauty of the.
It's beautiful.
This is good for Pat Fitzgerald and company. So Cubs and Cardinals tonight. You've got an opportunity to take 3 of 4. The division is. You don't look
who
at you
cares?
Just who cares?
Like the I meant like the win.
I understand what you're saying.
Like the division's over, dude.
It is.
So like winning tonight is not the biggest deal.
No, you got to get out of it healthy.
Not who cares. I'm going to go home and watch it too. I mean, the Cubs are a big deal right now. Probably going to go watch the Olympics, but
you'll do a little flip back and forth.
I'll flip a little bit.
Lineup looks like this. Fowler in center. Bryant at third. Rizzo in at first. Zobrist at second. Russell at short. Coughlin in left. Jason Hayward in right. Contreras catching and John Lackey on the mound. Now, Let me just ask you a question. Why would Jason Hayward ever be in front of Wilson Contreras? Because he bats lefty-righty and we want to have lefty-lefty? Can't say that. Chris Coughlin bats lefty. So Coughlin's batting six, Hayward's batting seven. And I know it doesn't matter, and I get, okay,
fine. And then
fine.
Contreras is eight.
And Contreras is eight. Willie Contreras is 1,000 times better hitter than Jason Hayward. Quit coddling this guy. But you're eighth. You stink.
Okay, fine. But what about the – there's still – I would imagine that if you're Joe Maddon, you're doing everything possible to get this guy somewhere remotely close to where he has been once the playoffs start.
See, I at this point, if it's me –
which is not that crazy of an idea.
Go, just let's go opposite. Let's embarrass him. Let's bench him for 3 days.
Everyone wants to bench him. Well, how does that help you in the playoffs?
Because Jorge Soler starts hitting the baseball, and then you actually have somebody who's not rolling out to first and second every time he's up or striking out.
But again, but why it doesn't matter right now.
That's the point.
Getting him out of his slump matters. The only way to do that is to get him in the lineup and hit.
I think sometimes you got to really anger someone.
Now, if he's hurt and there's some kind of underlying thing here about why he's not hitting, then this doesn't make any sense. Then just get him out of there, get him healthy. But obviously that's not the case because I don't think they would have handled it like this that way.
Well, he had a wrist injury early in the year. Has that plagued him all season long? Is that the reason he's been atrocious? Probably not. And he's been very good in the outfield. End of the day, if he comes up with a big hit in the playoffs when it really matters, I'll consider it a great year.
I hope it's a walk-off in Game 7.
It's great. I hope he does too. Speaking of health, Hector Rondon has been out with a triceps injury, says he's ready to go tonight. So if it's a close game, in the eighth inning, you'll get to see yourself some Hector Rondon, or maybe even in the seventh. Who knows?
What's the deal with Strope? Is he...
Strope-a-dope is out for
is
4
he back
to 6.
For the playoffs?
Yeah, I think he'll be back.
Okay.
Meniscus.
You're fine.
Well, they're going to...
I feel like I'm just the guy that goes around like, yeah, the Cubs are fine. Stop worrying about everything.
If the Cubs win the World Series, mm-hmm. and they're no longer the Cubs anymore... Because that officially would make them not the Cubs.
Do they have to change their name if they win the World Series?
Maybe they're at that point, they maybe get rid of the S. They're just the Cub.
They come back and wear gold around their logo next year?
And then now they're printing out like back-to-back T-shirts.
Oh,
why not?
Why not?
Instead of embrace the target, embrace the back-to-back. That's what I'm talking about. Brian Noonan's coming up next. We have one more timeout, then we'll talk to Brian. World Series, 720 WGN.